about.
Here we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And it was also then syndicated all over the country as well, right?
Well, it wasn't syndicated. It was on a network.
Right, but the next version of the show.
It was live on the network.
Right, but then once that show ended, the next version of it, there was a syndicated version as well, right?
No. The next version of it was on Nickelodeon.
I think you should give that a rest, Ralph.
Don't say one more word. Stop saying all these words. Quit talking. I'm sick of just words. Talk. Shut the f*** up.
And now.
Oh, my God. Think of the coronavirus. Oh, my God.
Our feature presentation.
All right, check. This will be the bean mic.
No, bean's already.
I'm fine. I can hear.
Three.
We're set up. We're good. The mics all work. We're set up.
Check. 1, 2, 3. Ouch. Okay, check. 1, 2. There we go.
Who hurts themselves doing a mic check?
Good question. There's number 4.
All right, we don't need a fourth mic. We're good.
Checkity check in the hizzy.
Lighting, we're set. We're ready. We actually want to start the show.
All right, where's my volume on this guy? No, there it is. Check. Hey.
I think everything's...
Numero seis. This one sounds tinny to me.
Oh, not tinny.
Check, 1, 2.
All right, I think we're safe.
One, two. Check.
We got to get started, Lighting.
Is that a little better?
Yes.
It's fine. Just leave it alone. Just don't touch it.
Hey, 1-800-520-1067. That's the telephone number. You call us right now. Get on the air. Get a prize. I'm so excited because Psycho Mike and I trade music tips all the time, as you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I found a new band for him that I think he's going to love. And I feel like this is going to change his life when I tell him about the new band that I just discovered.
Now, is it just the band name that you're excited about or the actual music?
This music is not for me. This is not my taste. Okay. But you know how sometimes you'll see or hear something and you go, wow, I have a friend who this is just, he'll love this.
Right.
Well, that Mike's into the death metal.
Right.
You know how he is, right? Sure. And I found this new band, this new death metal band, and their lead singer is a parrot. Now, yeah. I know that sounds like kind of weird on the surface, but they're so death metal that they hate humanity so much that they won't let a human sing in their band. That's how much they hate humanity.
So
that's
they have
how
a
death
parrot
metal they are. Yes, a 19-year-old Congo African gray parrot named Waldo is their lead singer. And, ladies and gentlemen, I present for you, Psycho Mike, you'll love this. I hope the other listeners will enjoy it as well. Ladies and gentlemen, the band is Hatebeak. Hatebeak, ladies and gentlemen.
Hatebeak.
You get the idea? Maybe want some more.
That could be the worst thing I've ever heard. That is
painful. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I present Hatebeak. Psycho Mike, and I know that this will be on CD in his car, and he will actually listen to it.
Will you stop it with that?
That, you don't need to magnify a bird's squawk.
I mean, it's really actually painful.
It is painful.
Do you remember we had on K-9us? You guys had him on the show. It was the band that was...
That was a dog.
Had the pit bull as the lead singer.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think this is a movement.
It's a bad movement.
It's the best.
From their album, The Number of the Beak, ladies and gentlemen, it is Hatebeak. That's how you want to wake up right there.
All right, you go. Check. This will be...
We've already established that everything is good. All right.
Number 3.
Let's take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. Maybe we should have people send in music that their animals are singing on.
Or,
we should make a contest of that.
How much do you think there could be?
I can think of four bands off the top, now that I know about Hatebeak. There's the one with the elephant.
What?
Where they trained him to do the
elephant. Oh, is it the Thai Elephant Orchestra? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there's that. There's a monkey band. Where the monkeys actually play instruments.
Come on.
Yeah, I swear to God, you had to YouTube it. It's either monkeys or gorillas, And they act, not only sing, but play, like, you know, hammer the piano and hit the drums.
And there's a monkey in the back that's running Pro Tools. It's really bizarre how smart they are. That sounds scary, but I'd like to get all of those bands. I think that'd be fun.
All right. Fun. You asked for
I'm
it.
I'm thinking that we got a pretty solid lineup.
Let's,
for
you're going to be sorry.
All right, let's put on an animal show. Yeah. All right. Your phone calls now, 1-800-520-1067. If you want to talk about Hate Beak or anything else, give us a call.
Sorry, you
must first
dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, it's almost like cash if you call us this morning. We have a $25 Tilly's gift card from Levi's, along with a pair of tickets to see the private demo with the Levi's BMX team at the Etnies Skate Park. That's going to be on Sunday, just part of the excitement of X Games being in Southern California this week, starting, in fact, today.
All right, let's begin with Tom. Hi, Tom. What it do?
What it do, guys? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
And, you know, for once in my life, Bean is actually right. Hate Beak should open Acoustic Christmas or Inland Invasion.
Well, I got to tell you, Hate Beak I love because it's so bad. But you really can only take about 5 seconds of it.
How many songs could they have?
And then you need to take a break. Well, that bird,
they got a whole album.
Yeah, I mean, that bird
does
has
it all sound like that?
It's written a lot of songs, that bird.
I owned a football macaw for 7 years, and that bird just squawked like crazy, and that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, you enjoy that. I don't see me doing that ever.
Nope.
I read a little bit about Hate Beak this morning, and apparently they don't own the parrot. The parrot is owned by somebody else who is a massive heavy metal fan. Apparently the bird has grown up listening to heavy metal and loves heavy metal, the owner says.
So is it singing actually heavy metal, or do we know? I mean, is it using words?
Well, I'm not smart enough. That's above my pay grade, right. That question. You have to talk to your vet. I don't know the answer to that one.
I'm going
to
guess no. All right, let's go to Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
So, I'm driving to work right now trying to call into what it do, nephew. And I have some stupid story about a cat, right? And while I'm driving, I get pulled over for having smoked taillights.
Right.
And the cop comes up to me, and I'm trying to, like, kind of hide my phone over to the side here. And he asks me what's up with my phone, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to lie to him and be honest. I'm like, I'm actually calling into K-Rock's What It Do, nephew. And as it turns out, the cop's a fan. So he was like, okay, just go on, but tell him the story. So I was like,
how about that?
No kidding.
What It Do, nephew, save me from a ticket.
How about that?
Wow.
That's fantastic. By the way, what kind of, you said smoked taillight?
Yeah, like my taillights on my car, they're basically blacked out. I mean, you can see the lights. When they're on, it's not like, you know, you can't see the light.
You just do it to make it look cool, but it's not legal.
Right.
Check you out. I got to tell you, there are more of these stories than people usually realize in cops being really cool about not giving tickets.
That's true.
I know a lot of people don't think that way because they may get a ticket all the time, but they really do go out of their way to try and, like, not be dicks and write tickets and stuff. So that guy's very cool.
Yeah,
right on.
We're going to send him out a Hate Beak. album. So, thank you for that.
Here's a clip of the album that he'll be receiving in the mail. I see for your next party, Kevin. I see you got the entertainment lined up already.
That is awful and great at the same time. That is so good. All right, let's go to Mark. Hey, Mark, what it do?
What it do? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
I was calling to ask you if you heard about the crazy chick from Texas that they found last week who said that she was possessed by the devil. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. She's the one that killed her own baby?
Yeah, and then disturbing stuff. Hannibal Lecter.
And then had dinner
again
with her.
Yeah,
she ate the brain for folks who didn't.
Yeah, that happened.
Which, by the way, in her defense, is the tastiest part of a baby.
What I don't get is, I heard someone saying yesterday, she's just faking mental illness to get off, and I'm thinking anyone who does that is mentally ill in some way. That's the definition of it, isn't it?
I don't think she's obviously faking that because she. She did that before she, before she got caught.
Yeah.
There's a brain in the toes, and that seems bad.
Don't do that, people. Look, if you take one thing away from today's show, well, two things. Hate Beak, obviously, and then don't eat your baby's brain. I mean, I don't think that's good advice, really, right?
Even for people who aren't for the death penalty. I mean, really, this woman should already be dead.
Like, but if you say she's mentally ill.
Don't care. There should be, she ate a baby. There should be an instantaneous death penalty for certain people. You know what I mean? It's like
we have that, and it's called the murder button.
Murder.
Yeah, good point. I forgot about that. All right, let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike, what'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do?
What'd it do?
What's going on?
I wanted to ask what you guys thought about the upcoming war of man and machine.
My money's on machines, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Thank
you. Are you talking about the robots that are going to attack?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, robots we've all created and spent too much money on.
Whoa! Yeah, you can't say that. But yeah, they win. They're robots. They don't, you know, they can't feel pain.
I know.
Yeah, they don't need to sleep. And
There's one that's made up of like 5 or 6 pieces, and you can knock it down and it falls apart and it puts back together.
Yep.
And then in Pakistan, I don't know how they're going to use it together, but they will. They've learned how to remote control insects.
Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Real insects?
What are you talking about? Real insects?
Yes, real insects.
They know how to remote control them?
Yeah, they...
All right, a little less time on the internet for you.
It's real, though.
It is, right. But it isn't.
They don't have running water in Pakistan. What are you talking about?
They can't remote control insects.
Might have the country wrong. It's somewhere over there.
There's nowhere that they can do that.
There is.
All right, let's
see. What do they make them do?
Here's what I'd like to suggest. We do not give Mike his prize until he sends us an article, until he emails us proof that they have remote controls for insects someplace.
I like it.
Any place in the world. Okay. All right.
By the way, war with humans and machines, humans win. Period.
What are you talking about? Have you not seen the movies?
Have you seen how much trouble Kevin's had trying to get an email, a program get put on his computer? How many times has your computer failed just this week, Lisa May? And how slow is it just to get up your traffic?
True.
Eventually, they all become inconsistent and incompetent in some way. There's some glitch
because you're talking about 2009 machines.
Right.
The caller's talking about 2059 machines.
All right. Well, I don't know about 2059. I'm saying if it goes down tomorrow,
we lose.
We win.
Human will
cannot be beaten.
I agree with you if it happens tomorrow. But they're starting to learn.
I agree.
Starting to teach them to learn, and that seems
very
bad.
They could bribe people who fix computers, too. We are bribable.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
We have Burp It. Burp It real good.
Again?
What?
I thought that was such yesterday. Such a big hit. I was looking at the wrong schedule.
I had a feeling.
We have Les Stroud in the studio today.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He, of course, is the Survivor Man, and he is coming in to talk about one of our favorite weeks, Shark Week.
Oof.
Which I love.
Yeah.
Shark Week is the best. We have Aziz Ansari talking
He's
about funny,
funny
people.
Yep.
Very funny.
That dude's awesome.
We're going to tell you about a group on the internet that is suggesting that we have a full-scale boycott of Megan Fox.
Now, what's up with that?
Gay is all I can come up with. I don't know. I guess they feel like she's had too much exposure for her talent or whatever.
What she's done.
Yeah.
Gay or run by ugly women, right?
Ugly, angry women?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
But don't they understand that every time there's a story about her on TV or the internet, it is accompanied by a photo of Megan Fox? Don't they get that? Just tune out whatever they're talking about. Just enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, they can't really do that, I don't
think.
Some
people can't tune
out. Yeah. We also have, we're going to talk X Games today. Psycho Mike went and got a bunch of tape. He's got Sal Masekela, the host, and Mini-Me, who also is competing this year in the X Games.
I had no idea.
Why is Mini-Me? Why do you have Mini-Me?
I don't know.
What's he doing?
I'm sorry. Like, I got what was given to me.
Is he doing the Moto X best trick?
Well, I asked him. This wasn't one of my better interviews.
Okay.
Let's just say.
Ryan Sheckler, a bunch of different people like that.
Okay.
We have car driver Tanner Faust on the program today. And a lot of other stuff that I can't see right now, including the Killers tickets and your chance to win a trip to see the Killers in Red Rocks, Colorado. And you could possibly win a smart car and a year's supply of gas from ARCO.
Okay.
A quick break, and we'll come right back with Ralph Showbizby.
That's a stupid name for a song.
Worst name for a song ever.
It's dumb.
It'll never take off, that song.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 5 minutes till 6.
We do have an update on the remote-controlled insects. We don't have time to get into it right now, but the dude gets his prize, I'll tell you that, because they're happening, and they're happening soon. So we'll tell you about that later on. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday. What's going on, Ralph?
Kim Kardashian is doing just fine in the wake of her split from Reggie Bush, in case you were curious.
No.
Her sister, Courtney, that's the other good-looking one.
Belle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tells In Touch Weekly that Kim is great. She's looking at houses and ready to live on her own.
Just look at that butt.
That is a tight butt.
Of course she's great. Look at her. She's Kim Kardashian.
That's the difference between the beautiful people and us.
Yeah.
Is that
when they break up, they got a line of people waiting to take the place of whoever they broke up with.
Options.
Never be alone.
Yeah.
She's just fine.
Yep.
And your family's got money.
Yep.
Yes, okay, I believe you when you say she's fine. If she wasn't fine, I'd go and I'd just slap her right in the head with a mojito.
And by the way, Reggie Bush has had sex with 12 different women since they broke up, too. So yeah, he's fine.
He's fine. Everybody fine. Except for Paris Hilton. She's not fine.
Uh-oh. Now
apparently,
what?
MTV has got a new documentary called Paris, Not France.
How do they do it?
They're good over there at MTV.
Wow.
Sounds like she came up with the title.
Must have a team of people just working on titles over there. She's still talking about her sex tape. She says that she was humiliated, embarrassed, and in shock when the video was originally released. And despite the fact that it was 6 years ago now, she says it still bothers her every day of her life.
Stop whoring around, Paris. Stop being a whore.
Kind of bothers me every day, my life, too. You know what I mean? Down there in my pants.
How come she can't just try and ignore it? I mean, it's 6 years.
And bringing it up just reminds all of us.
I'm going to go look at it again today.
I think that was part of the deal with this documentary is that they were going to get her to talk about all this stuff that has happened with her. So
she'll be happy to know she's learned to be a strong woman because of the ordeal. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, Kevin.
I hear that's true.
It's true.
I will never drink and drive again.
I saw a clip of her talking about this where she said she begged, what's his name, Rick Solomon, to not put it out because he told her he was going to do it. And she's like, please don't do that. There's no reason for that. And he said, you know, basically, screw you again.
Yeah.
Did it anyway.
Yeah. Said, pop on the night vision goggles.
She also said, if I'd been behind it like some people rumored, I would have looked a whole lot better. I think I looked horrible in that tape.
This looked right to me.
Looks like an alien in that.
Yeah.
Guy Ritchie's doing pretty well for himself after breaking up with Madonna, too.
Options.
Yeah, his options are spectacularly beyond his reach. Apparently, he hooked up with 18-year-old twin models recently.
Oh, come on.
Katerina and Christina Nezic.
I bet they're not ugly.
They are two Czech twin models. While Guy Ritchie was on vacation in Sardinia, which is a little island off of Italy.
My crotch really, really loves it.
The three of them were quite taken with each other, says a friend.
Yeah.
I'd like to be taken by a couple of twin Czech models myself, quite frankly. So he's doing just well. Everyone's good. Jennifer Lopez, she's doing good.
Yeah.
You know, it was her 40th birthday recently. And she had a series of parties to mark her 40th birthday.
Of course, one would not be enough.
No. And it's funny because most broads aren't too pleased about turning 40. But I guess Jennifer Lopez, again, she's Jennifer Lopez.
Sure.
She has
reason still
to
looks
celebrate.
Like Jennifer Lopez.
Here's the thing. When she had her biggest party at the Hotel Griffo in New York, there were certain rules everyone who had to comply with in order to get into the party.
Okay.
That involved giving up your cell phone and any camera you may have. They searched people as they were coming into the party. No cell phones, no cameras. Apparently,
she's afraid of videos.
Madonna, Beyonce, and Rihanna were not too happy about the moratorium on technology as they came through the door.
But you would think, of all people in the world, they would understand why.
But they're also, it's me, though. But
yeah,
I'm me.
Right. Yeah.
Take everyone else's cell phone, but I'm Madonna.
Yeah, true.
Why should I not be able to tweet about your hors d'oeuvres at your party?
That's true.
And speaking of tweeting, I never thought it would ever happen, but apparently Kid Rock and I agree on something.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah. Kid Rock says that he will never, ever be on Twitter. Actually, in an interview, he called Twitter gay.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow, what a burn.
Is there much controversy over his use of that term?
Yeah, of course, because, you know,
sure,
the gay community doesn't like it when you use the phrase gay as something derogatory.
I gotcha.
But beyond that, his point was, he said, I have nothing to say, and what I do have to say is not interesting. And so I will never be on Twitter.
Which is true of most everyone.
Yes, especially I'm thinking Kid Rock. So at least he acknowledges that and acts appropriately. He also said next time someone asks him if he has a Twitter account, he's going to punch them.
Oh, good.
So he's got that going for him.
Can't wait.
He really does a lot to assuage that whole redneck persona.
He does,
going on, doesn't he?
Fights that.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? The Governator. Arnold Schwarzenegger celebrates his 62nd birthday today.
It's pretty good for 62.
He sure does. Actress Lisa Kudrow is 46. She looks pretty good for 46.
Mm-hmm.
Director Christopher Nolan, who gave us the Batman movies, also Memento and Insomnia, he is 39 years old. Actress Hilary Swank, Oscar winner, is 35. Jamie Presley from My Name is Earl is 32. And actress Yvonne Strahovski, you may not know her by name, but if you watch Chuck over there on NBC,
you know
her as the delicious handler of Chuck on that show.
Just look at that butt. That is a tight butt.
And by handler, I mean like in a CIA kind of way.
She doesn't handle.
That's too bad.
Yeah. That show's coming back, too, which I'm very pleased about because I enjoy it enormously. They were down at the Comic-Con, and she was there.
And she was
just yummy.
The queen of the world down
and,
there.
And the actress who plays his sister on that show, too, Sarah Lancaster, also spectacular looking. So good for you, NBC. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
It's Kevin and Bean Show Thursday. Aziz Ansari, a name I still have trouble pronouncing, is very, very funny. He's in the new Funny People movie. We'll talk to him in 1 hour. Also, Les Stroud. He is Survivor Man, of course, and the host of Shark Week joins us next hour. First, though, Psycho Mike in studio. We sent him out to a red carpet earlier this week. It was a little different than most of the ones you go to, which are movie premieres and concerts and things like that. What was this event?
This was a roast for Travis Pastrana.
So it was a room full of people that were making fun of him, basically.
Essentially, okay. Yeah.
Right.
And Red Bull threw this big party, and there was bands playing and everything, but it seemed like a bunch of different action sports athletes got in a room to make fun of Travis Pastrana.
Okay, good. That's always good.
So it seemed like a good place to go and do the red carpet and probably talk to some people that we'd be interested in hearing from. And that would be true if I didn't work for K-Rock and people would really talk to me, you know?
Because they wouldn't stop and talk to you?
Yeah.
But we've had most of these people on the show.
I know.
Maybe it's you.
Maybe it's you.
I know. You're probably right. Because when you're on a red carpet and there's CNN and NBC and ABC local television.
TV, right.
And Us Weekly.
Yeah.
And ESPN.
Yeah.
And then there's me.
Yeah.
At the very end.
Well, any radio station is the redheaded stepchild. I mean, they don't really care about that.
I kind of get buried. And I think if they were to know that I was from K-Rock and that I really did want to talk to them, they probably would come in and stop and talk to us. But I did seem to get buried in the mix.
Okay.
But I did my best. And I
so
think
Mike's
I brought
making
you
a lot of excuses, basically.
Yes. I did my best.
Here.
I think I brought you some riveting radio.
Okay.
I got to talk to Sal Masekela.
Okay.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Now,
he's the host,
become the broadcasting face of the X Games.
Right.
So I could have talked to him about how rapidly action sports has increased in popularity over the last couple years or how amazing the X Games has become.
Right.
No.
I know leading up to the Super Bowl, guys like Joe Buck and John Madden get 10 times as much poontang. Now, as you as the de facto MC for the X Games, is this week just a nonstop stream of hot ladies for you?
Yes, I'm just swimming in vagine. I feel like an Olympic swimmer.
You worked with Rob Dyrdek on Street Dreams.
Huh?
Now, were you reluctant to work with Mr. Dyrdek with his given past in child pornography?
Yeah, we kept him away from children. That was sort of the key and the mandate as we moved forward in the film is let's make sure that there are no underage people around. And we did that, and he's definitely progressing.
So you're just basically making stuff up.
Yeah,
because that's just not true.
That's just not true.
No.
No one thinks it is, yeah.
But you just said it because you couldn't think of anything else to say about, I don't know, four days of the X Games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were the guy to said.
What are you looking forward to? What's the buzz
What's
this
been
year?
The most monumental moment in the history of the X Games?
Right.
Was it Tony Hawk's 900? Was it Travis's double backflip?
Oh, all this comes to
what
you
do
now.
You expect to be the big moment, breakout moment of 2009?
Are you hearing rumors? People are going to try something dangerous, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of questions.
Ed, why is your hair so out of control, Sal? Yeah. What's up with that?
None of that was touched on.
None.
So I see Chelsea Handler come down the red carpet,
yeah.
And I say, that's a woman we need to talk to. Here's my hard-hitting interview.
Really exciting, especially with Desperate having been on.
Chelsea Handler, come on, over here. K-Rock Radio, come on, please. Chelsea, handle this. Handle these nuts. Chelsea Handler, handle this.
Well, I got invited there.
Well,
that's
nice.
What? And then she wouldn't come over to you after that?
Want to know the best part?
Sounded like she didn't want to talk to you.
One of the best parts?
Yeah.
Not Chelsea Handler.
It wasn't?
What?
No.
You were mistaken on who it was?
The girl from Us Weekly leans up. She's like, that's not Chelsea Handler.
Who was it?
I don't know.
So there's some blonde chick who went to that event who's telling her friends, yeah, this guy on the red carpet was trying to get me to handle his nuts. What's up with that?
Yeah, so now I look like a maniac at the end of this card because I'm just screaming out random names
right.
of B-list celebrities. So then Mini-Me comes down the carpet. I don't know why.
Mini-Me.
I don't know what his correlation is to this event or to the X Games or to Travis Pastrana, but I figured this is a guy we got to talk to.
Sure.
Now, how do you know it's Mini-Me and not a remote-controlled insect? Do you ever think about that?
I did. I said, let me get some verification that it is, in fact, you, Mr. Troyer. I got some ID, and then I conducted this interview.
With your given size, aren't the most like mundane daily activities essentially extreme sports? I've heard rumors that you have pound for pound the largest penis in Hollywood. Is this true?
It happens.
I checked out what was deemed the Mini-Me sex tape. What is the legal status on that that heathen taking advantage of you and leaking that on the internet?
You may have sent the wrong guy.
What now, happened there?
Would they pull him away?
Yeah.
I'm guessing he didn't want to discuss that.
Listen to his answers and or lack thereof. And
he had
you
no
tell
answers.
Me if yeah. you thought him and his publicist were happy with that interview. By the way,
we may be sending the wrong guy.
His publicist, his publicist, a dude, 5'1".
Nice.
Unfair. If you're gonna be Mini-Me's public, you have an obligation to be 6'5" and above.
6'9"
muscular.
Just for comedy.
Yeah. So Ryan Sheckler.
Okay.
Talk to him.
Okay. Now we're talking.
This might be my only real worthwhile interview.
Okay.
Of
all
the
right.
night. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he's 19 years old. He drove up in a $250,000 car
nice.
With three chicks that are all hotter than we could ever dream of.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I need to get down to the nitty gritty of Ryan Sheckler's social life.
Now, how old are you right now?
19.
You're very wealthy and you're very handsome. Do you have your attorney on speed dials to make sure that some chicken head doesn't just come through and try to take you for all your worth?
I'm pretty careful with that situation as well. It's fine. We keep it mellow. We keep it real mellow.
And you're making sure to carry condoms around at all times.
All times, man. All times.
Now, does it ever seem like you have too many women? Is that ever a problem where you're actually got to pare it down?
You know, I said that the other day. It was so funny. We were at the dude tour, and it was seriously, there was just thousands of girls around, and it was overwhelming, man. It gets definitely overwhelming, but, I wouldn't be nowhere without them.
Yeah.
Yeah, his problem is he looks out of the crowd, and he could have sex with any of them, and he just has to decide, how much time do I have before the next thing I got to do?
Too many options.
Squeeze him in, yeah.
Sounded like you were asking him out for a second.
I'd date him.
Okay.
For sure. This is my final interview with Adrena Patridge.
Ooh,
and
from the Hills.
You know, I know the last couple interview clips you've heard, they weren't the best.
Well, some of them weren't interviews.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. I really think
especially
I came
Chelsea
through,
Handler, who wasn't even there.
I really think I came through with this one, though. I got a lot of hard-hitting, good insight into the life of Adrena Patridge.
Fantastic.
Ladies and gentlemen, here you go.
Adrena! Adrena! Adrena, real quick, K-Rock Radio. Adrena, Adrena, Adrena.
Adrena!
Adrena! Adrena. Adrena! Adrena, what do you think about the cap and trade system? Do you think it's an effective way to deal with emissions? Adrena, what's your take on healthcare reform? Is it true that you're anti-Semitic?
Wow. Those questions didn't get her to come over?
No.
What could you have done?
I tried my best. I felt like...
Well, it was all, you were good. I think it was them.
Yeah,
you were on top of your game.
I felt
game.
Like on the heels of the death of Walter Cronkite, I had an obligation to step my game up.
Right,
you know?
Of course.
You are the new trusted man, most trusted man in America, I hear, right?
You got it.
A job well done.
So I want to talk about my man, Dewan A. Johnson of Los Angeles, California.
Soul train, soul train, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, soul train.
I'd like to point out, by the way, that this show had been off the air about 20 years when Dewan called the Afro Line and decided to leave a message of him singing the theme from the Soul Train show.
Remember when we talked to him after 40-Year-Old Virgin came out?
Yeah.
Can I play that before we get into this story?
What's up, Kevin, Naveen, and Lisa? On Sunday night, I saw the sunny movie, The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
There you go.
Are you a virgin, Dwan?
No, I'm not.
Oh,
are you kidding
no.
me? Do you have a girlfriend?
No, I don't.
But you used to.
Nope.
Okay. How many times have you had sex?
Never.
But you're not a virgin?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm satisfied. That's why he's our favorite listener.
He is
so
the best.
We talked to DeJuan from time to time on the air, and occasionally, most of the time, he just calls in and we put him on because DeJuan, you know, he has the hotline to our heart. If he wants to go on the air, we'll put him on the air. But sometimes we want to talk to him, and we work very hard behind the scenes to arrange that. DeJuan is not the easiest guy in the world to line up.
Well, he's got a life, you know?
He does.
He has a schedule. And if we don't fit into that schedule, then we don't fit in.
Here's the funny thing. Apparently, didn't they like confirm with DeJuan that he would be calling us this morning at 6:25?
Yeah, of course.
He did. Twice he confirmed with both Alex and myself.
Really?
Yeah. But here's the thing. He has become friends with Psycho Mike. Psycho Mike does stuff with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, DeJuan will say, I want to have a party, and Psycho Mike has to set it up.
Yeah, and drive him there.
But he doesn't. Psycho Mike kind of likes him, so it's okay. It's cool.
Yeah, this really is the new age of Obama, because in this case, we got a black man owning a white man. He basically just points at Mike and tells him what he needs and wants.
Pretty much.
But now, it seems like he thinks of you as his muscle, apparently.
Yeah. And it worries me, but at the same time, it's kind of flattering that he trusts me that much to kind of handle all these different things for him.
What was the big event that he needed handled for him the other day that he called you and told you about?
Well, DeJuan apparently went to a cafe with a couple of his other friends, and he ordered a soda, and he paid for that soda, and the change he deserved was 16 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And he got 15 cents back.
Okay. Did he say, hey, I need another penny? Or
he didn't realize it until he got home. And he counted out the money that was in his pocket.
Okay, so,
and
so
he immediately called me and said, you need to go over to Cafe and handle this for me.
Because he wanted that extra penny.
He was not going to let that sit. I mean,
what does he want you to do? You're not his goon. You don't go in there and shake the waitress until you get a penny out of her, do you?
And I said, do you want me to go get the penny? And he said, no, you need to make sure they respect me. And I said,
and what does that mean?
That's very vague language, right?
Does he want you to beat someone up?
Sounds like.
Take somebody out back?
I think I might have to kill her.
Well,
is that true?
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's true at all.
Oh.
But I don't know how you get them to, quote, respect him. I mean, I don't know how you would accomplish that other than saying, hey, this guy came in and you only gave him 15 cents out of 16. But if you say that to a waiter or waitress or even a manager, they're going to go, it's a penny.
Get the hell out of my restaurant.
Yeah.
Guys, isn't it fairly common these days that the change just gets rounded? I mean, that's just what they do now. I mean,
because nobody wants the pennies anymore.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times I'll be at a 7-Eleven, something's $1.08, I'll give them $1.10 and walk out the door. I mean, you just give up those pennies because you don't care, you don't need them, you don't want them, and that seems to be the case here.
But
I don't think it was anything personal against DeJuan.
No, but you're supposed to get the correct change, I would think. If you leave 2 cents, that's just up to you to leave, then usually they have that little, you know, penny.
But if a waitress brought you 15 cents instead of 16, wouldn't you just assume that she didn't want to handle the penny, she just wanted to give you this?
No, I would assume she was off by a penny. Yeah. But having said that, I think I'd let it go.
Well, 99% of people would let it go.
You know what
go.
I mean? Like, okay, well, I'd have to call Mike and go, we're going to have to talk some sense into him.
And when he first called me, the first thing that came to my head was, well, I trust her math better than DeJuan's.
I don't know.
But at the same, then I started to think, and DeJuan is spot on when it comes to numbers.
Right.
Have you ever noticed?
I
talked to you about this on September 3rd, 2004, 7:45 p.m. And you're like, wow, how did you at all remember?
Rain Man,
he remembers the bus that he took to the Cinco de Beco show. He knows exactly the number and the route. I mean, so maybe she screwed up and we have to handle this for him.
But does he understand the difference between respect and just making a mistake?
No,
and
he doesn't.
Might you
Lisa.
Want to well, try to explain that to him?
Isn't that your job?
Mike?
Listen, I tried.
Did you try?
I tried.
Here's what we want you to do. We want you to go over there without the penny to his house and say, DeJuan, listen, people make mistakes. I went. Tell him. I tried. But, you know, it's a penny.
I don't remember.
I'll give you a penny if you want. It's no big deal. You got to let that kind of stuff go.
I tried the your kid's cat died, so you tried to buy one that looks exactly like it trick, where I was just going to go over there with the penny and say, you want me to go get the penny? I'll do it. And then I would have drove right to his house and just handed him a penny.
Right.
No.
She
needs to know not to disrespect me, and I ain't going back to that restaurant for a long time, is what he told me.
Clearly the president needs to have DeJuan and the waitress over for a beer to talk this
out. True.
That
would help.
What happens.
Wow, so you can't just bring him the penny. That's not enough.
No,
you
have
to bring him
first thing I tried.
You have to bring him the waitress over to his house, and you need to have a sit down.
She needs to earn that penny. That's like what needs to happen in that room.
Like the Mideast peace talks. You got to get those two together, and you got to make sure that things are copacetic.
Okay. I'll tell you. Wow, this guy holds a grudge.
Like, this is serious. I love so much that he's got people that he calls to handle his problems, and then when we want to talk to him, he doesn't even bother getting out of bed. He's sleeping right through his scheduled interview time because he can, because he's the king.
He's exhausted from not getting that penny.
That's going to be
very, very tiring.
Kevin, you've been, believe it or not, you've been following, I think, the Michael Jackson news lately even more than I have. I've kind of zoned out on a little bit, and you seem to be fascinated with Conrad Murray, who is the person of interest in the Michael Jackson death case.
He is Michael Jackson. Jackson's doctor, Dr. Conrad Murray, and I don't want to be him. Seems like a bad time to be him. The police are raiding his office. They raided his house. They're looking at manslaughter charges, it looks like.
At least,
which doesn't seem good. And they have found out since he's told them that he was in the house and he gave Michael Jackson propofol in the last 24 hours before his death.
And I guess he's in the house all the time. I mean, he virtually lived with Jackson. He was kind of his personal physician, right?
Right. And I saw one report where he allegedly was going to make, didn't get paid, but was allegedly going to make $1.8 million a year just to travel with Michael Jackson.
Right. See, the reason we've been hearing about this propofol, this anesthesia, essentially, and Harvey Levin has told us this from TMZ a couple times, the reason you don't use this at home, the reason this has to be in a hospital is because it impacts your ability to breathe. It's an anesthesia. So you need assistance breathing, not just putting an oxygen mask on. Sometimes you need manual assistance to make sure that you continue to breathe. I mean, it's a very, very serious drug. And Kevin told me something this week I had not heard, which is that there are some reports suggesting that Dr. Murray gave him the medicine and then did what?
Well, fell asleep.
Now, when you get put under in a hospital, they are monitoring everything constantly because people die.
Right. We don't know if it's true, but the report was that he gave Michael Jackson propofol with an IV and then nodded off. And then woke up, and when he woke up, Michael Jackson was already dead.
Dear God.
That was one of the reports that we read.
It seems like, I don't know, kind of take it seriously. If you're the doctor and you've just given the patient the thing that could kill him, I don't know, stay awake.
You know how you wake up and you're in a haze and you can't figure out what day it is or what time or anything like that? Can you imagine? Okay, Michael Jackson, maybe the most famous person on earth, is dead.
No pulse.
That would be bad.
I'd go back to sleep is what I'd do. Well, I don't know how she did it.
I'd give myself some. Enough.
Because everybody wants them, but we got them. Producer Alex has lined up Dr. Conrad Murray on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Doc, how are you? Dr. Murray? Conrad.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's Kevin and Bean here.
Oh, hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
What's that beeping? Are you in a hospital?
I'm sorry, I fell asleep during that lengthy setup. Put me right to sleep.
We happen to think it was just enough, sir.
I didn't think it was ever going to end, quite frankly.
Well, we thought maybe our listeners would need some context as to who you were and why we were talking to you.
They got a big old ass full of context.
They did get that.
Yes, they did.
Now, which of these stories are true? You did give Michael Jackson the propofol in the last 24 hours?
Well, you need to understand that I'm not at liberty currently to discuss this situation since it is an ongoing investigation.
Right.
So my legal counsel has suggested I stay away from any particulars involving my client, Michael Jackson, patient.
All right.
Okay.
So, your ex-patient.
The doctor-patient privilege, of course, is in effect here as well.
Mm-hmm. But he's dead.
But I will say, well, I still need to keep his matters private, regardless of his state.
All right.
Right. And regarding the use of the drug propofol.
Propofol
is the name of
it. How he gets it.
Propofol.
Right, that's what I said.
Right, it is what you said.
That is only for use in hospital situations and so on.
Right, but did you do it at his home?
Well.
You can't comment.
Define home.
His house.
Oh, in that case, yeah.
Okay, what about the report that Kevin saw that suggested that you gave him this powerful anesthesia that needs constant medical monitoring to make sure the patient doesn't die, and instead you dozed off? What about that?
That is...
took a nap.
Is madness.
And when you woke up from your nap...
That is sheer madness, of course, because being a professional in the medical community, there's no way... There's no way that I could... I would...
Dr. Murray?
Oh,
oh,
no.
Oh, dear God.
Dr. Murray.
Oh, what's that? Wake up. Hey. I'm sorry. I'm with a patient right now. I'm a little busy.
Wow. It sounds like you just fell asleep and he flatlined.
That's crazy.
That's what, that's what it sounded like.
Well, you're not a medical professional,
no,
to the best of my knowledge.
I am not. That's correct.
I don't believe your show is called Dr. Kevin.
Should be.
And Nurse Bean.
Should be, but it's not.
So I would say you should hold off on judgment there because... because unless you're a medical professional, you really can't... you can't...
Doctor, you with us? Here we go again.
Dr. Murray, your patient... Dr. Murray?
Hey, Dr.
Murray! Yeah.
Your patient.
Your patient. You're losing the patient.
Is that a fire alarm?
No,
no, no, no. No, that's...
Somebody change the batteries in the smoke detector.
That's his heart stopped.
That's a flat line.
Oh, sorry. Hey! Hey, you!
Is that there what you do? You just, yell at the guy until he starts breathing again?
Hey! All right.
Hey, you is the way to get him to breathe again?
That is a medical term.
It's not a medical term.
It's known as, hey, you for call. The drug I prescribe to patients who are... dead.
Yeah.
And okay. They come back to life.
Did you try the hey you with Michael?
Oh, did I ever.
Yeah.
I said all kinds of things in his ear.
Yeah.
I said, your hair's on fire again. That didn't work. And I said, hey, look, a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, doctor.
That didn't wake him up. Nothing.
Well, good point.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Now, you got... where are we in the... No, I'm just trying to figure out where we are in time. We have plenty of time. Okay, good.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Love it. Love it.
There are times that I speak out loud and I shouldn't.
Funny People is the movie, fantastic cast, Aziz Asnari. Whose name I'll never get right.
What?
Wow.
Aziz. It's just
Aziz. Aziz. Yeah. Not Aziz. Aziz.
Aziz Ansari.
Asnari. Very funny. Love him on his TV show as well, and he looks hilarious in this movie. But we'll be talking to him in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday. What's going on?
Mel Gibson's in trouble with the cops again.
What?
Yeah, apparently he was out last night with his model girlfriend, Oksana Grigorieva. And a photographer tried to take a photo of Mel.
How dare they?
But... couldn't get the shot because of security that was surrounding Mel, so the photographer's friend stepped in and tried to get the shot. Apparently, that irritated Mel to the point that he ripped the guy's shirt.
Oh.
And so now the LAPD's Hollywood division is filing a battery report against Mel Gibson. All of this according to TMZ.com.
If you had a security guard, why didn't the security guard do that?
I do not know, sir.
Huh.
Expletive Jews.
Yeah.
Huh.
So the guy whose shirt got ripped... went to the cops and said, he ripped my shirt.
Yeah. This is bogus.
Shut up.
Yeah.
If you're a photographer and you're trying to get your nose in some place and get a photo, you know the guy doesn't want his photo taken, security's trying to block you, and you burst through and you get the shot and you get your shirt ripped?
Yeah.
Count yourself lucky.
Man
that
up.
The job.
Yeah. Get a pair.
Yeah.
Ooh, he tore my shirt. You know the guy's like, sweet, here's my chance to either get some publicity or try to get some cash out of this.
You know, it was a $9
so
shirt, too.
F you. Yeah, you weak shirt-wearing bastard. Get better shirts. God. Here, you know, I don't like to do the Michael Jackson news.
Right.
You know, I've sworn off.
You boycott as long as there's something that
the
doesn't
best
seem,
of my ability.
Doesn't seem appropriate.
But here is some actual news regarding the Michael Jackson case. Heard your guys' interview with that doctor, by the way. That was a good guess.
That's
shocking.
Exclusive,
right?
Yeah.
How do we get that?
Apparently, it's all over in terms of the custody dispute over Michael Jackson's kids after weeks of negotiation. Apparently, it is official as of about a half an hour ago, according to ABC News. Catherine Jackson has gotten... she is for real. And she has gotten sole custody of the Jackson children.
I thought they were just saying Reby or one of the other
wacky
sisters was going to get them.
Because she's like 80.
Like 2 days ago.
Nope. The Michael's mom, Catherine, and his ex-wife, Debbie Rowe, were in court trying to negotiate over who would get rights to the children. And they have reached an out-of-court settlement giving Catherine permanent sole custody of Prince Michael, Paris Michael, and Prince Michael II.
I wonder what was involved in that settlement.
Hmm. Ching!
Oh, Cash.
Boy, those kids are white.
She has sold those kids so many times.
Apparently, Debbie has worked out some visitation rights.
Yeah.
In this agreement.
They can't just mail her the check? She has to go pick it up?
No, apparently she will have meaningful but unspecified visitation rights and retain her legal parental rights, according to ABC News. So she is not completely out of the children's lives, but Catherine will be raising the children with her.
This is weird, Ralph, because it seemed to me, before Michael's death, that she was completely out of the children's life. Like, I never heard stories of her visiting those kids in the years since she gave them up.
One of the kids was singing, "She's out of my life."
Really?
"She's out of my life."
How about that?
That was a Michael Jackson song.
Yeah.
Let's see. Trouble on the set of the Miley Cyrus new movie.
Uh-oh.
A 53-year-old man was arrested for getting a little too close to Miley and several young fans who were also standing around the film.
A 53-year-old?
Yeah. Look at this dude, too. Here's his...
What's up with that?
That's his mugshot right there.
Oh, wow.
Kind of looks like... Who's the fat bassist for Van Halen?
Michael Anthony.
Kind of looks like a rougher Michael Anthony.
If you gave Michael Anthony 3 years worth of meth, you would have that guy.
And he was homeless.
He was standing around telling several young girls who were also watching the film being made that he and Miley made eye contact years ago and they fell in love.
Oh!
All right. That's creepy.
Nobody will ever be able to keep us apart, he told the fans.
Wow.
We're like one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Police said in Chatham County, where the movie was being filmed, that Mr. Baxter will be released shortly.
What? Really?
That wasn't me. What is
it?
Come on.
How about that? It'll all work out soon.
Hey, when I say it about me and my sweet Zach, it's because it's true love. This guy is just creepy and delusional.
Mm-hmm. And Fox has decided not to air an episode of the Emmy-nominated Family Guy TV series.
How dare they? That show is awesome.
The upcoming episode is entitled Partial Terms of Endearment and deals with abortion.
Oh, dear God.
Apparently, Fox...
You can count on the Family Guy to do that with taste.
Fox is uncomfortable with the content of the episodes, they've said, and they fully support the producer's right to make the episode, they claim, and they can distribute it in any way they want.
You removed the fun.
Sorry. Means it'll be on the DVD.
Which means, yes, eventually we're going to see it on DVD, but we will not see it aired on Fox.
That's a bummer.
Although Seth can't be surprised, right, that that's a little too hot for TV.
No, in fact, it seems as if he was expecting this decision to come down when he spoke at Comic-Con this past weekend. On Saturday, he had a Family Guy panel and said to the crowd, 20th Century Fox, as always, has allowed us to produce this episode, and then said, you know what? We're scared to effing death of this. So apparently he knew that they probably weren't going to air it, but no.
Did you know that Democrats murder thousands of babies every year? And sometimes babies are put back into the womb just so that they can be aborted again?
It's true.
That's not from this,
it's
is it?
All true. So I'm going to have to drop by and maybe get a copy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's
see. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we?
You're the water boy over there. You can get something.
Exactly. I can bring in the bucket. Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck is 27 years old today. How do we? We've never had her on the show, have we?
I don't think so.
No. We got to remedy that.
Yes, we do.
Jamie Presley.
Ah!
From My Name is Earl is 32. Hilary Swank turns 35 years old.
I say Belle, by the way. What do you guys think? Some of you see some boyish tendencies there.
Yeah, she's a dude.
She's a pretty woman.
A little mannish.
She's dude-ish.
She wasn't in Pretty Woman,
Lisa, what do you think?
That was Julia Roberts.
Yeah, a little mannish.
Yeah, a little mannish, a little too much jaw.
Yeah.
Ixnay on the elbow?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Big old chompers.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Let me just take that back. There you go.
What was the TV show where they had a giant battle over the hotness of Hilary Swank? Wasn't that in The Office?
I don't know.
The Office. Everyone in The Office had like a 4-hour conversation where they had to break it down. They had charts and like photos of her posted.
And what?
They took a vote.
What conclusion was it?
Kevin was running the discussion and saying that she was absolutely hot. There was a big schism between The Office.
What did they finally decide?
I don't know if they ever did come to a conclusion.
Okay, time for the final vote. All those in favor of the resolution, Hilary Swank is hot.
Ooh, too bad we don't know how that ended. Yeah.
I can't believe you have that clip.
We took our vote. She's a great actress. Nothing wrong with her.
Nothing wrong with her.
No. Just doesn't get a bell.
Charming and I guess attractive on a level.
Sure.
I just don't know if it's bell worthy.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Christopher Nolan, director of Memento and Insomnia, and of course The Dark Knight and that other Batman movie that everyone liked. Batman Begins.
Sure.
He is 39 years old today. Lisa Kudrow from Friends is 46. And the Governator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, celebrates his 62nd birthday. He's still slashing prices, apparently, over
there
in Sacramento.
Yes.
Everything must go.
Still having a garage sale?
That's right. Mm. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If y'all are ready to laugh your d*** off, let me hear you say yeah. All right, then it's Randy time. Let's do this shit.
Whenever I watch porn, I digitally put my head on the body of the dude in the video. Why would I want to watch some other guy have sex with this girl when I can watch myself have sex with this girl? That one has nothing to do with my comedy. It's just a cool idea I had. Oh, shit, it's Randy! Ba-bam! 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 You ready for this? Bam! Oh, this is awesome. This is like my file cabinet where I keep all my jokes and I organize them by topic. Like, this is all material about getting my d***s. This is all material about eating. Ba-bam! Ba-bam! Check it out. It's my old badge. Used to be a cop. I shot a kid by mistake, and I got kicked out. It was messy.
Well, geez, that could happen.
My name's Randy, y'all. Thank you so much. Hit me up on MySpace.com/Randy with 8 A's. I'm out.
With 8 A's is the comedian character played by Aziz Ansari in the new film called Funny People. It opens up everywhere tomorrow. We can't wait. And we're very excited to welcome Aziz back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, man, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
We are very well.
We're doing great.
Hey, we're excited. This movie has the dream cast of all time. I mean, even for you, a funny guy who's involved in funny stuff, you had to look at this and go, whoa, I'm showing up, and it's Judd Apatow, and it's Seth Rogen, and it's Jonah Hill, and it's Adam Sandler. It must have been crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, the cast in the movie, is everyone is just so awesome. Everyone involved in the movie was hilarious. You know who did the catering on Funny People?
No.
Burrell did all the catering on Funny People. That's how funny everyone that Judd had in the movie.
Wow. Who knew?
Did the catering.
Who knew he did that on the side? That's crazy. Now, how did your role come about? Where you're kind of the, if I'm reading it right, you're the super successful comedian that everyone kind of hates. Not everyone, but the other comedians, I guess.
Yeah. He's just kind of like, excuse me. He does a lot of jumping around and, you know, talking a lot about, you know, kind of lowbrow stuff. And so the other comedians kind of feel like he's just kind of going lowest common denominator, crowd pleasing stuff, and don't really like him. And, Judd was basically like, why don't you play this guy Randy? Like, what's this make him, like, really cocky and confident? And then I kind of took that notion and started, the cool thing about Judd is, like, he's very, very collaborative, and he always wants to hear, like, the actor's ideas for the character and stuff. And so I kind of thought about it, like, that idea of, like, the comedian the audience is love, but the other comedians hate. And I just kind of went with the notion of, like, to me, like, Randy's not really, like, making fun of, like, one comedian. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, you're making fun of Dane Cook. Not really. Like, to me, it's more like, what if Soulja Boy did stand-up comedy? it would be like Randy. I think because he has a DJ and a dance and all this stuff, you know, very much inspired by that. I mean, sure, there's like, you know, in the Randy videos we do a thing about tourgasm, you know, a tour. That's more, you know, making fun of tourgasm rather than,
right,
I guess.
Right, right. Now, you did all these videos on funnyordie.com. There's like three of them?
When we're filming the movie, you know, Randy's a small character in the movie, and, we had a lot of fun with the character, though, and we'd really fleshed it out in a lot of weird ways. And so I asked Judd, I was like, hey, man, I know, like, this is a small character in the movie, but, you know, he seemed to really like it, and, like, Seth and all these people were really into it. And I was like, what if we made, like a documentary, like, for the DVD and to, like, put out before the movie comes out? And he was like, yeah, totally. So I called up Jason Wallner, who's the guy that directed the sketch show that I did, Human Giant.
Right.
And me and him, like, wrote it up and shot it. And, we've been releasing it in chunks on Funny or Die. And then when the DVD comes out, there's, like, a long version.
It's really funny. You guys have to check this out on Funny or Die. When we had Jonah Hill on yesterday, and he was telling us that he and Seth had to go out. I mean, that was part of their job to play the comedians in this movie, was to go out and do and film stuff and do stuff on stage. Did you do the same sort of thing with this character in front of an actual audience that wasn't like paid extras to laugh? I mean, were you able to actually make this comedy act go over on stage?
Yeah, totally. Whenever they were doing stand-up in character, I started going out with them and doing stand-up as Randy. And, you know, I do stand-up myself, and my stand-up is much different than Randy. Randy's material is generally about fellatio.
Yeah.
I've
noticed that, yeah. And,
You've been on stage a lot as a comedian, but this time you were coming out as this character and doing comedy.
Yeah, because, you know, when we were doing the scenes, like, I was like, all right, well, clearly Randy's stand-up would be quite different from mine. And so I went out and I started doing my jokes as Randy initially to kind of feel out the character. And then I was like, oh, I've got to write my own material for Randy. Like, Randy's got to have his own stuff. And then I wrote, like, maybe about 10 minutes of material just for Randy. And you know, it was really fun.
you know, there has to be a comedian out there who's going to see this and go, I need a DJ. And the next thing you know, it's going to be all the rage.
There's definitely, like, you know, they've been putting out a lot of funny people, viral stuff, like, you know, about Adam Sandler's fake movies as George Simmons or, right. You know, Jason Schwartzman character's fake TV show. And I think, you know, those guys are a little bit more famous than I am, so people right away know it's a joke. But I've been on, like, some message boards where they posted the Randy video, and people just think it really is
awesome.
A dude named Randy. And they're like, this guy's terrible.
Now, did you have a long conversation and or argument about whether to have 6 A's in your name or 8 or 9 or 7? Because you have eight A's.
There was a line in the movie that we had in, but it's not in the movie, but Randy was saying that he wanted it to be 6 A's, but somebody already took that on MySpace, so he had to go up all the way to 8 A's. Like, don't go to MySpace.com/Randy with 6 A's. That guy, he's just like a painter or something.
If you're just joining us in the Kevin and Bean Show, Aziz Ansari is on the phone with us. We're talking about his role in the movie Funny People that opens up tomorrow. You know, this Judd Apatow obviously has become a brand name. I mean, there are a lot of people, and everyone in this room is one of them. His name's on the movie. We're going to go see it if we don't know anything about it or not, because he's just been so consistently great. What's it like as an actor to be working in a Judd movie? Is it different from other stuff you've done?
I'd never worked with Judd personally. I'd worked with, you know, Jonah and Seth a little bit and mm-hmm. stuff. And, you know, I was really excited. You know, he's clearly been on quite a hot streak. And to be a part of that, you know, in this film was really fun.
Is it true that
the main thing about him is he's just really collaborative and very open to any ideas the actors have and stuff. It's really cool.
So it's not true that you're not allowed to look him in the eye?
I never met Judd.
But hopefully you will at some point in the future.
Yeah.
You got to check out the Randy videos on funnyordie.com. They are hilarious, and you'll see a little bit more of that and all the other great actors in Funny People opening up everywhere tomorrow. Aziz, man, it's always great to have you on, and I'm looking forward to Parks and Recreations coming back in the fall too, dude. So thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you later on.
Thank you, man.
Okay. Again.
Shark Week, bitches. Come on. It's back. Sunday, August 2nd at 9 o'clock on the Discovery Channel is kickoff of Shark Week. You know, over 29 million people watched Shark Week on the Discovery Channel last year. And one of the reasons is sitting in our studio right now, our friend, the Survivor Man, Les Stroud, is here. Hey, Les, how are you?
Hey, guys.
They're back, and they're scaring us again.
Now, every year, Les, we say to each other, and then we say to you, how can there be anything left to tell us about sharks? You have to be out after 20-something years. You must be done telling us new facts about sharks.
No, because we don't know half of the facts anyway. So no, there's lots to tell.
Well, then you people aren't doing very good work.
That's right.
You've been doing this for 20 years.
We only get to do it an hour at a shot. And you're telling the TV commercials, you got 45 minutes. I got 45 minutes to tell you a story about some of the greatest beasts on the planet. So,
all right.
You know, we're spreading it out across 20, 30 years.
Well, what I love about Shark Week 2 is that it's not just the new episode. You show a lot of the older episodes as well.
Well, you can imagine the footage we get over the years, right?
Yeah.
And some stuff's too cool for school. You got to come back to it, right? It's like, oh, remember that special, like, stuff that came out of Air Jaws and that, which we shot in my show this year. Mine's called Deadly Waters this year. And we've got I got to tell you, there was we were shooting, and when you're trying to get a shark jumping out of the water, I mean, it's catch as catch can. You're lucky if you get it.
Right.
Yeah. And we're on the back of the boat. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. We're sitting there, and you're holding the camera steady on the back of the boat. Of course, you got to scratch your nose. You're going to shift your bum. You got to do all these things. And every time you do that, the camera's jumbling. And I just happened to be in zone mode where I was just, like, holding really still. And so was my buddy. And a 16-foot great white breaches the water right behind the boat on a seal attack. Full breach, 9 feet out of the air, big curl, splashes down, and I'm on this special camera shooting slow motion, which you have to actually record. You press go after the footage has happened, and it catches everything that happened before, so you don't know if you got it. So I look at it, perfect, from beginning to
kidding.
End, this incredible Polaris breach.
Is there no way to try to get them to jump out of the water like that?
Well,
you just
did.
Have to wait? Oh, you know.
No, we used decoys, and you pull the decoy along the boat, which is just a little rubber mat shaped like a seal.
Uh-huh.
And they hit that thing like a pike on bait. You know, they just hit it hard and fast. It was very cool.
Now tell us
we're
about
getting wicked footage.
Tell us about Deadly Waters. You go to the 5 most dangerous places.
Yeah,
for
there
sure.
You go. Done. Answered. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much
not much of a question, was it?
Well, we go and we take a look at why. Okay, so why is this place? Is it the murky waters? Is it the schooling bait fish? Is it the amount of tourists? A lot of times you can imagine it's how many bare legs are walking around or swimming around in the water. I mean, you know, long stretch rate correlate the bare legs in the water to human attacks on sharks.
Sure.
It makes sense. But yeah, we take a look at why these waters, and it ends up being shark species. Great whites in Australia. I was in the cage, and I think I told this story to you guys last time, but I'm telling you the same story, but a different shark. 18-foot great white shark in the cage in Australia come right at me and bumps the cage nose to nose. 18 feet is like a bus. I mean,
right.
It's like a big feeding tube, big bus with teeth on the front.
And you're in their world.
And I'm in their world in a spindly little cage. If they had half a brain.
Which they don't.
I'd be just total food.
I mean, that cage would not withstand.
No, I would not stand a chance. It trashed the world. They could do whatever they want.
You can't
call yourself
really
Survivor Man if you're still using a cage.
That's right. Survivor Man's got to go down in the cage. Absolutely. And actually, this time, guys, I actually, first time ever I've done, I actually hand-fed a great white. So I stuck my hand. Now, I know that sounds really cool and total man point.
No,
but
it sounds
like you should have a stump.
Yeah, it sounds like. No way.
I stuck my hand out of the cage, but it's kind of like, you know, you're trying to put this can through the cage, and you're trying to go back as far as you can at the same time.
Distance yourself, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and not end up with, you know, called lefty.
And did it come by and just take it nicely?
No, he ripped it
ripped
out
it.
Of my hands, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, massive.
Hey, listen, when you're talking about hot spots, you're talking about areas of the water that are the most shark-infested. How big a shark infestation are we talking about? I mean, the hotspot areas, are there 100 sharks? Are there 2,000 sharks? How many are out there?
Well, how do you want me to answer that?
A billion?
You know, because I could answer and say, well, hang on a second. Who says they're infesting anything, right? I mean, this is their place, right? I mean,
right.
The waters aren't infested, quote unquote.
Semantics,
nothing. It's
okay.
Big. It's
okay.
Big.
Infesting is the wrong word.
Like,
how many sharks are in these areas?
How many sharks? Lots.
Lots.
Tons. But we're also killing them by the millions, right? Millions are being killed every single year. So there's a lot of. How many?
I
was saying this the other day.
Why
at
are we killing? Is it fishing?
Finning, fishing, netting, pollution, all of that stuff.
Okay.
But like the other day, I was at a friend's cottage and we were talking about bears. I said, you know, you go to bed tonight, you have no idea how many bears walk through this yard. I can tell you that hundreds of times a black bear walks through, and I can tell you that thousands of times you're swimming in the water, a shark swims by you.
Right.
You just don't know it.
Right.
Of course, most sharks aren't going to get you.
What's that?
Most sharks.
Well, it's, you know what I did? You know, I've got my book out, Survive,
mm-hmm.
and in that I talk about accidental predators and true predators. And to me, an accidental predator would be like a Caribbean reef shark that mistaken identity, it gets you because you're trailing been spearfishing.
Right.
And you got bait all around it. A true predator to me is an animal like a polar bear or a great white because they're opportunistic. They come along, you look juicy. Yeah, I'll take half of him and go home.
Now, what does juicy mean exactly? Because I want to know.
Pink and soft,
okay.
And crunchy on the inside. You know,
there was a video in the news, I don't know, a week ago, of a shark off the coast of Malibu. And I take my kids to Zuma all the time, and I always tell them, there's never been a shark here. This isn't a place for sharks. They don't come up here to the coast. Now, I think it was a great white.
Yeah, there's actually, I was blown away to find out great whites go all the way up to British Columbia and Canada. And
they
need
to stay in their own area.
Yeah, I know. What are they doing?
What
anyway?
Are they doing? Don't they have an area?
Yeah, like I know. They should have like little permits. Okay, Great White Grounds and Caribbean Reef Grounds.
So let me ask you this. If there is one shark in Malibu, is it like cockroaches? If you see one, there's 100 more right behind it that you don't see?
No.
Or can they be pretty solo?
It both. You know what? The answer is both, depending on the species. I think some, and depends on the time of year. So the answer is yes to both of those. Sometimes one shark could mean there's a lot more still hanging around.
Right.
Or one shark is a lone solo dude just swimming by.
You're an elusive bastard, aren't you?
I've been listening to you guys for too long, man.
All right, we need to take a break, but Les Stroud is here. He is, again, part of Shark Week, which begins Sunday night. Very excited about that. Yeah. And we'll take a quick break and come back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right now in our studio, our friend Les Stroud. He is, of course, the Survivor Man and the host of one of the six new hours of one of the six is what you're doing for Shark Week this time on Discovery, right?
That's right, yeah.
And that's Deadly Waters, and that airs Monday night. Shark Week begins this Sunday. It is cable's longest-running event. What are we in? Year 21 now, I guess, right?
Is that right?
Wow.
I think so, yeah.
Which,
yeah. Unbelievable.
Amazing. 20th anniversary. Might even be 22.
This is the 22nd year.
22nd year.
Yeah.
How about that?
Now, what are the Deadly Waters? You went to the five worst? Or not worst, but most shark.
Yeah, I mean, and it's always a play on statistics, right?
Right.
Yeah. And it depends, you know, fatalities versus pure attacks. But
what were the five?
Oh, you taxed me on this one. Hang on. We had Caribbean.
Yes.
South Pacific. I'm counting down. 5, 4. Caribbean, South Pacific, South Africa, Australia, and drum roll.
Don't have drum roll.
Uh-oh.
Right. Thank you very much.
The United States.
No!
Of America.
I knew you were gonna say that. Damn it.
By the way, let's pause for a moment and think about Les's job, that his job required of, oh, for work, I've got to go to the Caribbean, honey, and then I've got to go to South Africa, and then I've got to go to Australia. No wonder he keeps doing this gig.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Gets me out of the house.
You were telling us during that My Chemical Romance song that you have been bitten by sharks 3 times, and you still have the teeth. Because they fall out when they bite you?
Yeah, that's always a trick, actually. If you go to like Stewart Cove in Bahamas, we do a lot of shooting down there for the Caribbean reef sharks, and you go in and hand feed and this sort of thing. And it's always that's the thing amongst like even the guides that do the feeding. It's like, you know, did you get the tooth? Because whenever they bite, their teeth drop out.
Why, Les?
Well, a lot
they're
of the
old,
sharks
retired.
Like, well, the great whites. The great whites just keep growing new teeth. They have rows of new teeth that just keep growing. They go through a million teeth in a lifetime.
But you had the mesh suit on so that they couldn't break the skin.
That's right.
But I see a scar.
Yeah, well, they do. That's like wearing a tea bag. They sort of can still crunch through and mess up the leaves a bit. So yeah, they can still like I could have my muscle my arm dislocated if he pulled it. I could have the muscle mushed up a bit. They just can't chop it and take it away.
I see.
That's what the chainmail.
Oh, so interesting.
The chainmail does protect. The chainmail has protected me every single time. It saved my hands, saved my fingers. Absolutely.
But. You can still get...
Well, hey, you know, and I know the guy that came in, oh, well, come on, don't say that it... Well, heck, I got the scars to show that it's broken the skin, so... But you know what? I'd rather have the scar and my fingers than...
But I'd rather have a better chain mail...
They're great suits. They actually...
I'd rather have that.
They got great ones. I feel really good when I wear them down there. I feel much
But I would love... I disagree, Kevin. I think I'd rather have the shark scar. I mean, what a chick magnet that thing must be. If you can say to a woman, well, yeah, that's a scar from when I got bit by a shark. I mean, you rule.
It's a great pickup line.
That is good, but if you have to say, oh, yeah, I only have one arm because, then it's not
as good.
Not as good.
Les, forgive me, but I have to ask these two Shark 101 questions because I can never keep the answers straight, and you are the authority, so I'm going to take advantage of that. True or false that sharks never stop moving, and if they sleep or stop, they'll die?
Yeah, that's true.
They do not stop moving. How is that? I mean, like, why don't they get so tired they stop? I mean, I don't understand what the deal is with them.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's got a lot to do with just, you know, the flow of currents. You know, that's because I've seen sharks sleeping, but they're sleeping in an area where the flow is so strong. Like they're standing still.
Right. Oh, so they don't have to move, but the water
current. So
right.
The water moves.
It's
so I guess in a way the answer is both, right? Because they can just
answers from Les Stroud are, by the way.
Yeah. It's the elusive part, right?
And thing two is after this. Sharks don't get cancer. True or false?
Well, I'm told it's true, but. You know, I'm not an expert on that. I've been told that. Yeah, that's
why
right.
Do you bring that
that's
up? Why the they whole may shark, hold the key to
the whole shark cartilage thing, right? And all that.
That's what a lot of doctors think. That's an area of investigation that's going on because they don't believe they do, and they're trying to figure out why. What
not,
makes them?
They're also not stressed out like we are, too. So
that's true. They don't have anxiety.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Deadly Waters airs Monday, and that's one of 6 hours. And then is going to be sharks all the time on Discovery? I mean, this basically turned the whole week into Shark Week, or is it just at night, or what?
If I remember correctly, the main way that Discovery does it is, no, we show all our features and stuff. We've got our other regular programming that we'll go on, too. You can certainly check your local listings.
But I've checked, like last year I recorded a ton of them, and they start at, like, I don't know, noon and go through 10 p.m.
Well, we got 22 years of them, right?
Right.
And there's some killer stuff there to show.
So you got Blood in the Water, that's the first one Sunday night. Yeah. Then you have, and that's what inspired Jaws, by the way. That story inspired Jaws. Day of the Shark 2, this is the one where a great white breaks through a 300-pound aluminum shark cage. Doesn't sound like it's much of a cage if it can get broken into pieces. Then you got Deadly Waters. That's then me. You got Great White Appetite. Then you have Shark After Dark. And then you have Shark Bite Summer.
I saw Shark After Dark on the Playboy Channel.
Very different.
Crazy stuff.
You asked if we were going to run out of like shark things to show. No, we're going to run out of shark show titles is what we're going to run out of.
Well, Shark Bite Summer, I remember, because in 2001, that was all of the rage in the news was this.
It's the summer of 2001, and the big fish are biting. Sharks of four species attack 50 people in the U.S. alone, taking limbs and lives.
So the all-you-can-eat buffet is open and the sharks have come to feast.
Is the ocean's apex predator taking back America's shores?
Tonight, sharks, swift, scary, and swimming off your local beach. Is it safe to go into the ocean?
I've never heard Larry King more scared and hyper in his life than right there. Tonight, sharks! Is it safe?
Here's another question kind of on that tip, Les, and that is, are there times where there are way more shark attacks, or is it just our perception of it based on how much the media choose to emphasize it?
Bingo.
So that's what it is.
So the summer of 2001 was no real difference.
Well, there is I'm sure there's upswings and downswings, but you know our media centered perceptions definitely curves which way we think about
it.
You know, and then you know oftentimes you'll get shark attacks man or rips off arm, and then you read through and then like the last sentence was, oh yeah, he was spearfishing and had a trail of fish stuck to his weight belt, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
They forget to mention that little tiny tidbit that he was trailing dead fish with him while he was swimming in the water. And the mean old shark attacked him.
So let's say that there's a shark sighted off of Zuma. Okay, let's just say that happened. It's not looking for food. It doesn't need human beings, right? It's vacationing.
Yeah, in Zuma. Depends on the shark. That's what we were talking about, accidental predators and true predators.
Right.
Like I say, when it's like a great white, I mean, he's an opportunistic feeder. So if it was a big, pink, floating, awkward, gangly, swimming, like, this guy can't even swim. What is this thing? And it's pink and flat. I'm going to go take a little sniff and a little taste test, but my little taste test is probably going to take his hand off or his arm. Mm. That's a problem. When a shark and a big shark does a taste test, and he doesn't want you in the end, but his taste test, you lose your arm.
Sure.
Right? That's what happens a lot of times. They really don't. They really just want their fish.
So they don't like the taste of human beings. They're just not sure what you are.
That's probably not a bad statement to make. Yeah. What they like or don't like, I couldn't tell you. But I do know that what they want is their fish and their natural prey. And the opportunistic ones, like a great white or like a polar bear on land, it's just being an opportunist. And so they end up eating a human, right? You know?
Right.
Last question for you, Les, and that is, when you are eventually killed by a shark, and I think we all, it's the elephant in the room here, we all know that's going to happen.
He's Survivor Man.
I understand, but eventually you go down in and tempt the sharks for footage enough times. Eventually, Les is dead.
Thanks
we all
for
know
that, man.
My question is, tell us now so that we know how to feel at the time. Would you like that footage to be shown on a future Shark Week, or is that too private and too personal? You'd prefer it does not get on TV?
I would suggest that if my lawyers can make sure that my kids get all the money, then air it.
Then run it.
All right.
Okay, go ahead and run it. Because I'm looking forward to seeing it. I mean, I hope it's not anytime soon, but I just say when it happens, I hope they show it.
Well, it ain't going to happen. But, you know, then what about when you guys get, like, blown up or something like that? Are we going to air that?
Yeah. Have at it. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, it's a pretty cutthroat room. That would happen the same day.
So deal today. I go down and get ripped apart by something. You guys get blown up by somebody. We get to show up either way.
Correct, yes. Yes,
good deal. All right.
Shark Week premieres this Sunday night. All six new programs, I believe, are airing this Sunday night. That can't possibly be, but this next week at the very least.
Yeah, over the week. Mine's on Monday night.
Deadly Waters, and that's Survivor Man, and that's Les Stroud. And you're the best. Thanks for coming in. And
thanks, guys.
Sorry you're going to die at the hand of a shark. Kind of sucks.
Always a pleasure to be here. Right.
It is Thursday, which, by the way, means it's Rally Car Racing Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to give you some tickets to go see that at the X Games this Sunday and talk to one of its champs. Former gold medalist Tanner Faust is going to be joining us in a few minutes. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the showbiz news, I've got tickets to give away to the Los Angeles premiere of the new Rogues Pictures thriller, A Perfect Getaway. It all happens on Wednesday, August the 5th, and it stars Timothy Olyphant, Mila Jovovich, and Steve Zahn. Because you know I have a huge man crush on. If you'd like to go, I've got five pairs of tickets.
We got a winner! Oh, Nelly.
Five pairs of tickets to give away right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First five people who get through get a pair of tickets to go see A Perfect Getaway at the L.A. premiere.
You have another pair of tickets to give away. If you want them, just call in. You can win those tickets.
Right. Already got that. Already said
call
that.
And you can win those tickets.
You're going to be hanging on to Steve Zahn's leg everywhere he goes that night?
I will if he's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if he leaves Kentucky these days a lot.
Yeah.
Erin Andrews, who, of course, got a certain amount of fame for having her naked body surreptitiously videotaped through a peephole in a hotel. Back in the news, apparently there was someone creeping around her house in Georgia last week, and she made a 911 call, and here's what that sounded like.
I have been in the news recently about being on in a hotel naked, and I have paparazzi outside my window, and I was told by law enforcement that if I did, to call 911.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is Erin. My last name is Andrews. I'm all over the news right now.
I'm not familiar.
I'm the girl that was videotaped without her knowing, without her clothes on in the hotel.
Really?
And I got two assholes sitting outside my house.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I did nothing wrong, and I'm being treated like Britney Spears, and it sucks. I'm sorry.
Okay, the first available unit is to see you as soon as possible.
Thanks.
I like that. 911 operator is like, I'm not familiar with that.
Tell me more of your fame. I'm not familiar with that.
Give me some more deep background.
Sounds to me like
relevant.
Sounds to me like Erin Andrews is a little too interested in her own notoriety in that phone call.
Yeah, but it's a 911 call.
Was I can't. Upset. Yeah.
Yeah, but she doesn't sound upset.
No.
If you're upset, you don't say. If you're upset, you say, there's someone outside of my house. They shouldn't be here. I need the police to come over right away. You don't start saying, you may know me from the news. I'm all over the place. I'm very famous for having been filmed naked in my hotel room.
They're paparazzi, so you do need to differentiate between.
No, the cops told her if she has any problems with paparazzi, just to call 911.
But when she calls 911, if she just says there's people outside my house, it sounds like they're burglars and the cops are going to come with guns pulled, which is not the case. I can see why she would want to be very clear about what's going on.
Well, all she has to say is there are photographers
policeman.
Outside of my house, and the police told me if this happened to send a unit, so I'm calling right now. Here's my name and address.
I think you're being hard on her.
I think she sounds, as much as she's complaining about being treated like Britney Spears, she seems a little impressed by the fact that she is in the news for this event. She didn't have to say why she was in the news. Said, I've been in the news lately and paparazzi are outside my house. But she's like, I was known for being naked in a hotel room. I'm not familiar with that. Oh, I'm all over the news right now. You should check it out.
Maybe you saw me on the sideline of the Lions game last year.
You have a point. She could have just said, I'm a public figure. I'm
Maybe
on ESPN.
Maybe she wasn't thinking it through at the time when she called.
Yeah, I think we might be being a little hard on her, but yeah. It was funny when the 911. I don't know. I'm not familiar. Well, okay. Here's what happened.
Over the news.
I need help.
I want to see a peephole video of her making the 911 call. That's what I want to see.
Have you heard the latest theory?
No.
That the peephole video was actually a little game she was playing with someone that she was involved with.
Really?
No. Yeah. No.
Meaning she had a romantic.
They can't seem to find what hotel or anything that this
really?
Happened in.
And that is not a peephole. If you watch the video, I'm not saying I have, but
many times.
That is not a peephole. I mean, you could see when the camera moves away and stuff, there's a cutout of a wall. I mean, he's either like inside the wall or has made this hole somehow. It's not a peephole.
Yeah.
There's no way.
This is not a small hole with a little pinhole camera. This is something that a regular size lens is shooting through. It's like yeah. Mike said, it's like a cutout in a wall.
Interesting. So maybe he stabbed her in the back.
11 days now, investigation. They can't find a hotel that has any holes in any walls that she stayed in. They can't find anyone who has any information about who could have shot this. And there is a
big open manhole.
There is a rumor going about that this could have been a little sex game video that was shot with a partner of hers that now may have been released without her knowledge still. But that this was not necessarily a crime, a criminal offense.
I see.
Interesting.
Interesting.
but she may be playing it off that way as to avoid further embarrassment.
Yeah. Not very sexy if it was a sex game. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it may not be for her.
Curling her hair.
She's kind of dancing around, though.
I mean, not that I've seen it, but back to you.
Like, there was no warning of a big open hole.
I'd like to know who curls their hair, by the way, in the nude.
Yeah, I know. That's a dangerous thing to do.
Without a television on or anything in a hotel room.
Yeah.
She's just really appreciating herself naked, curling.
Gentlemen, start your boners.
Black hole.
All right, more celebrity cop news. Apparently, cops are calling BS on this alleged victim of Mel Gibson's who says his shirt was torn by the star.
Is that right?
Yeah. Already, law enforcement sources are dismissing the battery claim. They say this guy made the story up, actually. He tore his own shirt.
Oh.
And no criminal charges will be pursued against Mel Gibson.
I would hope if he tore his own shirt that they would press charges against him.
Yeah.
Or give Gibson a shot at him.
Sure.
In a closed room.
One punch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just leave him alone for 5 minutes and see what happens.
The news makes you sad. Don't watch it.
Yeah.
Tear something else of his. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah. I know you do.
Yeah.
Apparently, the victim, again, this guy who says he was assaulted by Mel Gibson, was asked to leave the club 3 different times. Because he was trying to get photographs of people, and there's no photography allowed.
So he was being an a-hole.
Right.
Yeah.
So apparently he's looking for a little love.
I can dig it.
Not getting any.
Yeah.
And more story about this topless pool at the Rio in Las Vegas.
Oh.
Yes. What's the update?
It's the weirdest story you've ever told us.
Remember the integrity check I told you that it failed?
Mm-hmm. They failed an integrity check.
Well, turns out...
In Las Vegas.
It turns out that some arrests were made Saturday at that pool. We're finding out more information. Prostitution-related activity was going on at the topless pool at the Rio.
That is shocking.
Especially when you invite strippers
from
the Sapphire to hang by the pool. To have there be prostitution and drug activity is really stunning to me.
Shocking.
Homewrecker.
Completely unexpected.
Wow.
Yeah, several women were charged with soliciting prostitution. A couple more were charged with controlled substance possession, including meth and marijuana. One woman was charged with the sale of cocaine. This sounds like a great pool, by the way.
It sounds like a great party, right?
I don't want them to close it because it sounds like everything I want is in one easy-to-find location.
I was just there, and I thought I should go out to that pool, and I didn't.
You blew it, Kevin!
Oh, it's too late.
You had meth or pot or coke or hooker strippers or whatever you wanted.
I believe that Mayor Goodman from the great city of Las Vegas, the man who gave us the key to the city a few years ago, is going to be joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow to further discuss this topic.
Well... someone has to get to the bottom of it.
As key holders, we're the ones that need
this freaking Vegas, people.
Straighten this out. That's what should be going on there, right?
Yes.
That's what we're saying.
And they're saying, the police, by the way, are saying, hey, don't blame us. Rio decided to close the pool. We didn't close it. Rio decided to close the pool.
Oh.
To avoid further embarrassment regarding these
that's
these
the same
charges.
Thing, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure they said, we'll be back here every day for the rest of the summer.
Was there a certain DJ out by the pool?
DJ Omar Khan.
No, I'm not allowed to comment on that about what DJ may have been performing poolside.
All right.
It's hip. It's happening.
Not anymore. It's closed.
Vegas frowns on drugs. Cocaine in particular, but drugs in general.
Yeah.
It's funny, a city that's so sort of promiscuous with its controlled sin, with gambling and strippers and all that kind of stuff. They really don't like drugs there. You can get into a lot of trouble if
or
you have
guns.
Drugs. Yeah, guns either.
They hate
you know what we need? We need the mob to run Vegas again. That's what we need.
Take back over like they did in the, when was it, 60s?
Oh, 40s, 50s, 60s. It was just, you could get hookers and blow and guns and stuff. And everyone knew their place. Everything was everything, you know? I'm going to talk to the mayor about that tomorrow. See if we can get the mob back.
Anti-orgasm.
Exactly, Rodney. Anti-orgasm. It's a phenomenon. Today's celebrity birthday is Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck is 27. Jamie Presley from My Name is Earl celebrates her 32nd birthday. Hilary Swank is 35. Christopher Nolan, very talented movie director, turns 39. Lisa Kudrow from Friends is 46. And Arnold Schwarzenegger celebrates his 62nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, what kind of shape are you going to be in on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show after a full night of X Games tonight?
The best. I'm going to be sharper than ever. I'm going to be in the best shape of my life. Going tomorrow, going Friday, going Saturday, going Sunday.
Okay, what kind of shape are you going to be in Monday morning after 4 days of going to the X Games?
Never more sharp than
never
than
more sharp.
That day.
All right. We have a pair of tickets for you to the world premiere of the X Games 3D, the movie. That's at the Nokia Theater, LA Live, and that is tonight. This sounds like something, if you love action sports, it's a movie you must see, especially at that location and in 3D. Plus, how about this? We'll throw in a pair of tickets to see some actual X Games action. It's Rally Car Racing and X Fest at the Home Depot Center this Sunday. Speaking of the Rally Car, who's the biggest name in that sport, would you imagine, right now?
Tanner Faust, probably.
Gotta be. And not just because he's on the phone and joins us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tanner.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
We're doing great. I don't think we've ever had you on the show before. It's awesome to talk to you, dude. Is this something you're really looking forward to this weekend?
Yeah, you know, the X Games is a pretty big hit on our calendar, and the Rally Car Series actually races out in the woods essentially all year long. And then we come here to L.A., kind of hometown a little bit, and put on a big show at X Games.
Now, in 2007, you won the gold medal. 2008, you won the silver medal. What happened? Why'd you slip?
I got beat by Travis Pastrana. That's what happened. I know it. He's an ultra competitor, you know. And,
sure.
He's tough to beat, and this year it's the same deal. And Pastrana's running. We've got Dave Mira, and my teammate on the Rockstar team this year is Brian Deegan, who's new to the X Games this year.
Sure. Is it a little annoying for you to be a car driver and have these guys come over for motorcycle and win?
No, you know, it's good. Okay, I'll give you the political answer. No, and then the real answer, of course it is. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Where are their bikes? Shouldn't they be riding around? And by the way, Deegan, of course, is not new to X Games. He's won 10 medals. But he's new to the rally. But these guys are just talented guys, you know. Pastrana is an amazing athlete. Deegan, amazing athlete. And a lot of the rules that they learn and they master on their bikes apply to the cars. And there's a giant jump in the rally car thing where we do a 75-foot gap jump. So
right.
they're no stranger to that kind of air, and so they're real comfortable in this scenario.
Now, you're kind of a ringer. I mean, you're a stunt driver. You've been on Fast and Furious, Bourne Ultimatum. You work with the Secret Service. I mean, you're an expert.
I've been driving. I'm lucky. I get to drive a variety of cars, you know, and I just like, you know, sitting behind the steering wheel. So I get to do drifting and rally racing, and the stunt stuff is really, really fun. But the X Games, it's one of the biggest events of my calendar year. And ESPN puts on such a crazy show. You know, they take this sport that's kind of in the shadows in the U.S., really,
right.
This rally racing.
Right.
And they just put the spotlight on it like no other organization can. And it gives us a chance to race head-to-head, and there's big crashes. And last year, a car actually did a front flip, not on purpose.
I think awesome. I think Sunday is almost exclusively rally car racing. I mean, they do a lot on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but Sunday there's a lot of it that's this event from Home Depot.
Yeah, so we're actually the last event of the entire games, and what they do Saturday night, they take all of the freestyle jumps and motocross jumps out of the Home Depot Center. They flatten it, and they make one huge jump for us for Sunday. And then we run Sunday afternoon. It goes live on ABC at 12:30 is qualifying, and 1:30 is the actual event. And in the race, there are a lot of different brands of cars. Typically, Subaru and Mitsubishi have been in there mostly. But this year, Kenny Breck, Brian Deegan, and I are going to be running the new Ford Fiesta, which is its debut in the U.S. here for rally.
Isn't that interesting? Because most of us, we hear Ford Fiesta, and we don't think of it as being, you know, a competitive racing automobile.
It's a ridiculous. This car is ridiculous. It's the angriest little machine I've ever.
Angry little machine. Now, how is this racing different from other racing? I mean, besides the fact that you're on dirt, are there a lot more accidents?
With rally racing, typically out in the woods, you know, you get notes. And you have a co-driver sitting in the right seat with you. And you do about 150 miles that's broken up into probably 10, 15-mile sections over a couple of days.
Right.
And those notes tell you exactly how sharp every corner is, where every bump is. And that co-driver is hooked to you with an intercom, and they're reading the notes. And so you've never seen these corners before out in the forest.
Oh.
And they're telling you exactly how sharp it is. So you're pushing 100% going 100-plus miles an hour on a dirt road you've never been on, just trusting that they're saying the right stuff.
Because you know how sharp the corner is going to be, and you don't have to slow down that much to make it.
Right. They're telling you exactly what you can't see.
What about here?
Unbelievable.
Here you practice on the track so you know?
Right. And then at the X Games, we use the same cars, but this is a course that we get to practice, and we pretty much memorize it. So we won't have our co-drivers with us. We'll have some spotters over the radio. But here it's the same car, same technology in the cars, but now we're on a mixed track. So it's got some dirt, it's got some pavement,
right.
And there'll be two cars going side by side racing on mirror tracks, essentially. And one car will actually jump over the other car at the crossover.
Now,
unbelievable.
Is it considered unsportsmanlike conduct for you to go out there, say, midnight the night before and dig some giant trenches where other car drivers don't know and... You know,
yes.
Okay.
Hey, Tanner, would you be just bored stiff if you were racing NASCAR or Formula One or something like that after doing rally car?
Well, NASCAR, Formula One, I mean, two totally different things, but those are big businesses right there. And
I know they are, but I'm just saying, compared to the kind of driving you do and the challenges that you have that you've just been describing to us in rally car, I just wonder if being on a NASCAR track would just seem kind of dull to you.
Potentially. Those guys deal with a lot of different stuff, all the aerodynamics and the politics, you know.
But not 75-foot jumps.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it stays interesting. But, yeah, with rally racing, an old rally racer named John Buffum kind of said it best, I think. He said, in rally racing, you take 100 turns once, and in regular racing, you take one turn 100 times.
Yeah, right? It makes a difference, yeah.
Yeah, and so it really is exciting in rally racing, just to, you know, basically you're ripping through the countryside and there's people standing on the sides of the roads. I mean, it's really a cool sport, and because you're listening the whole time to this co-driver, it uses a different part of your brain. It's a pretty big challenge.
Unbelievable. Well, it sounds like yet another great X Games ahead of us. X Games 15 kicks off today, and as we've been talking about all week, Home Depot Center in Carson, Staples Center, downtown L.A., your big event is going to be Sunday, August 2nd, starting at around 1:30 at the Home Depot. You can go to TannerFaust.com for more information on what Tanner's got going on, and, of course, XGames.com. You can ESPN360.com. You can watch it on ESPN, ABC, a ton of coverage, but the way to go is to be there in person, that's for sure. And look for my man Kevin all 4 days. Tanner, have a great race on Sunday, man. Thanks a lot for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Gentlemen, we'll see you out the track there.
Thank you. Best of luck.
First, though, you probably thought you wouldn't be hearing from Sarah Palin after she and John McCain lost the election in November, but she refuses to go away. Now she's not even the governor anymore. Now she's resigned from that job, Kevin, yet she's still in the news every single day.
Well,
what's up?
That speech, too, was nutty beyond words. Here's a little Sarah Palin.
I say it is the best road trip in America, soaring through nature's finest show. Denali, the great one, soaring under the midnight sun. The cold, though, doesn't it split the chechakos from the sourdoughs? With fireweed blooming along the frost heaves and merciless rivers that are rushing.
What is she talking about?
Those are clips from her farewell speech on Sunday when she handed over the governorship of Alaska to her lieutenant governor. And now, if you're wondering what she's going to do next, all signs point to a cash-in, first of all. Obviously a book, obviously speaking engagements. But now people are saying that she's likely to get a radio or a television show out of the deal.
Sarah Palin may be prepping for a career as a radio star.
Oh, good.
Is the headline. A radio star. She's going to have a show where she comments on the stories of the day. And I hope that happens, and I hope it happens immediately.
Let's give her the opportunity to prove it on the radio, because the ex-governor of the great state of Alaska, Sarah Palin, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show now. Hey, how are you, Sarah?
Oh, gosh, I just couldn't be more in awe of all the nature glory that has all of the wild rushing rivers and the sure are some cold temperatures.
Right. Okay. But, Mrs. Palin, you're standing beside a river right now?
Sure. I'm doing a little fishing, because the greatest fish in the world are the ones that go through the waters of Alaska with the cold temperatures, and it sure does spit the chechakwas from the sourdough loaf, doesn't it?
You understand that testing the waters is just an expression. That means you're looking into a possible radio job. You don't actually have to go out and test the water.
What's that?
Just casting my reel in the waters to test
see
if I can catch a big old radio fish.
Now, let's talk about that radio fish.
what exactly do you see your radio career as being?
Well,
a talk show host?
Gosh, sure. Talk about the news of the day.
I would love
and
that.
Talk about the temperatures that, oh, can get so cold. And then in the summer, about 150 degrees hotter than it was 6 months before that and then 6 months ahead.
So you want to work on the Weather Channel?
Oh, gosh, no, because I'm a renegade. And I wouldn't be doing just radio as usual. I'd be getting out the message that the trees are tall as the sky itself and closing down on the moose calls when it gets rainy is like a muddy day with a rock to step on and not even finding a worm.
She's like a female me.
Yeah, she is.
Awesome. Oh, did you get something?
I think I got something here.
Oh, very exciting.
Oh, no, it's just one of Todd's old boots.
Oh, that's stupid, Todd.
Look, I'm not trying to discourage you from getting a radio show because I would definitely listen. But some have wondered if you have what it takes to keep a day-to-day job. It seems like you kind of quit every time you have a job after a while.
First of all, I'm no quitter.
Right, but you...
Like the great general once said, it's not a retreat if you go in the opposite direction forward in a positive way, not as usual.
That's not the quote, but you did quit, though. I mean, you quit as the governor with a year and a half left on your term, though. You are a quitter.
Well, I am not a lame duck sort of person who would be all lame and be ducking. No, I am out there with the trees and the temperatures that can get so cold.
Right, we know about the temperatures.
We got that. Yeah, we
heard. It's very hot, and if you're a lame duck and it's hot, then you lose all your feathers. And who wants a naked duck?
Well, I guess no way.
That was a good cast.
Oh, that was a good one right there.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
This is the greatest fishing hole in all of Alaska, but I don't seem to be catching a thing.
Yeah. I don't know what makes it a good fishing hole, then, if there's no actual fish being caught.
The problem may be it's my pool.
Your swimming pool?
Yeah.
Well, there's no fish in swimming pools.
Well, there could be.
No.
In Alaska, miracles happen.
No, not like that, really, and no.
Pipelines go and come.
Right,
and
but you
the
have...
next thing you know, oh, look.
But you have chlorine.
It's a tree.
What?
What?
And then you find out that you're in the greatest nature walk ever has been with a big river that carries a log that a beaver chomped on. And it goes down there, and the next thing you know, it's just a bunch of beaver logs.
Please please follow up on this radio job idea. We think it's great.
Oh, that would be Godhead.
Yes.
Yes, it would. Thank you. I don't know, Kevin, that in the history of doing this show, we've ever lined up a guest who's more wrong than Gordon that we're about to talk to. I mean, can you think of anyone off the top of your head?
No, I really can't. No.
Gordon Hurd is the managing editor of something called Asylum.com, which I'm sure until this week was a great website, but now they are dead to me. Gordon, how dare you suggest a day without Megan Fox? What's wrong with you?
I know. We're crazy, aren't we? We're crazy.
Yes.
Here's what he says. Have you guys heard of the actress Megan Fox? She's in the Transformers movie, and she's super hot. And, oh, you have heard of her already. Maybe that's because we, the media, have been covering her every weird thumb geek's shunning supposed bisexuality Star Wars t-shirt wearing sexy photo taken. And I'd like to suggest, Gordon, that that's the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do. But don't you ever get to a point where you think, man, I'm just kind of sick of covering this celebrity.
No.
No.
it depends on the celebrity.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we have all gotten to the point where, like we don't really talk about Spidey on this show anymore, and I think a lot of other media outlets got to the same, which is just they're stupid and they offer nothing and we're bored with them and we don't care. And and that's legitimate. I can understand that. And I can get the people who are overdosing on an actual story, like what's going on with the Michael Jackson investigation, just because they've heard too much. I understand all that. But Megan Fox is around a little bit here and there, and of course when a movie comes out you see more of her, but every time there's a story on Megan Fox, there are photos or video of Megan Fox, and it makes it so worthwhile.
Which you're saying is a good thing, yeah.
Exactly. Yes, it's so much better.
You know, I guess what we're coming at it in this way is that it's actually, we're doing this for her own good. We don't want her to become too overexposed.
Oh, so you have her best interest in mind.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We want to preserve her career as long as possible. So we thought, let's just take one day, give her a rest, and maybe give another starlet a little chance to get some of the limelight.
How long have you been dating men?
Gordon, you know
I mean,
what's
I'm cool with it. If you have, I'm just saying how long.
Yeah, we're not judging. We just want the facts here. But don't you think that all of the websites, and you've suggested it, but a bunch of sites, including, you know, iHeart Chaos, Band in Hollywood, Ask Men. I mean, these are some pretty big sites with a lot of traffic. Don't you think on that day they're going to write about how they're not writing about Megan Fox and your whole plan, your evil, dastardly plan will have failed?
This could be a great scheme to sink us under the water. Yeah. That's true. But we kind of took a pulse of the other men's sites, the outlets, and we all collectively said, yeah, let's go ahead and do this.
The men's site. So you're saying that the websites that appeal specifically to men, your concept is to take Megan Fox off of those websites.
And give the limelight to a new starlet maybe that we all hadn't heard of before that could use a little exposure.
Like who?
Do you have anyone in mind?
Yeah, we've opened this up to suggestions from readers, from the other sites we're collaborating with. So people have brought up women like Olivia Munn from G4 TV. I
think absolutely. Absolutely.
Emmanuel Shrieky.
Absolutely.
The lovely Eliza Dushku.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Blake Lively, because we have to throw in a blonde.
Sure.
Or two. Odette Yustman, I think.
Yustman, yes. She's spectacular.
And Rachel Nichols from upcoming G.I. Joe.
All right, now listen. Okay. But listen, here, and this is a very important thing, Gordon. All of those people should be featured because they're young and hot. There's enough room on the internet for a picture of Megan Fox as well. You don't have to take away one to put up the others.
I think it's a good dialogue we're having here. I think we're
Where you're dead wrong.
But I mean, but what you're saying is, hey guys, here's a whole bunch of $1 bills. Go ahead and throw away the $10 bill. I mean, there's no reason like you can't have a both in your wallet. That's what we're saying. You know, of those actresses that you mentioned, with the exception of Blake Lively, we've had every single one of the other ladies on the Kevin and Bean Show. Okay. And we love them all. We support them. We think they're all great. We've also had plenty of time to talk about Megan Fox. I mean, there are enough hours of the day to do them all.
Well, no.
No, bitch.
Not technically.
But maybe this might be a way to get her on the show. Now that you've told me how dead wrong we are, she might come to show her support. So we're helping you out, too.
She might come to show her support of
us for
talking about her so much. Yeah. Yeah, I doubt that. But
all right, how about this? How about this? After you do your day without Megan Fox, assuming you're allowed to live, assuming that the vote is taken and they decide to let Gordon Hurd continue live, what's next? Day without puppies, day without sunshine, day without breathing, day without chocolate sundaes? I mean, what's your next evil plan after Megan Fox?
Oh, you haven't thought that far down the line.
But there must be more good things you can crap on. Basically, that's how you guys roll at Asylum.com.
No, you lost it. We're still trying to support her.
No, you're not. Let me play the promo that you have on your site. This is from A Day Without Megan.
We're here to talk to you today about Megan Fox.
Why are they considered the hottest woman alive? Megan Fox has had her balls in a jar for years. And we've been happy to heap rewards on her and enjoyed the corresponding traffic.
But no more. Somewhere between the millionth picture of her thumb and the latest quote about how she can fit an entire Sprite can in her mouth, what was left of our souls cried out, enough.
All right, who's the angry lesbian? Who's
lesbian.
That? Who's the mean woman that's got you under her thumb?
The woman speaking there was Emily from the website. She's one of the editorial team.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the video, but I guarantee, Gordon, that you're gay and she's fat. I know that much.
Ouch.
All right. A Day Without Megan Fox is supposed to be when? August 4th? Is that the date you've come up with?
Yeah. We're going to have to step it up then.
Yeah, we're going
to
have
We're going to have to do our feature Let's All Talk About Megan Fox on the 4th, just to make up, to balance out what you're doing.
We won't be able to talk about you on that day, but the next day we'll be all over it.
That's all right.
As a matter of fact, we're going to prepare, especially for you and the readers who are not bothered going to your site today, we're going to put a special Megan Fox photo gallery up on KevinBean.com so that people have somewhere to go to get Megan Fox on August 4th. How do you like that?
That's great. I think that's going to be wonderful.
All right. You're bad.
Gordon Hurd, managing editor, Asylum.com. Say hi to your fat coworker there, and thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks a lot, guys.
I remember a time on the Kevin and Bean Show where Ralph Garman sat in the studio, and he was in front of a microphone and doing the showbiz beat for us. Do you guys recall those days?
Oh, those were good times, weren't they, back when Ralph worked here?
And not when 1 minute before the song ended, he just bolts out of the studio, never to be heard from again. What's up?
Oh, there he is.
Hey, Ralph.
How's it going,
kids?
Man?
Hey. Just doing a little last-minute research.
All right.
You must have some late-breaking showbiz news for us.
Trying to be the latest and greatest in showbiz news.
What do you got?
We got People Magazine. Everyone is anticipating this week's People Magazine with great relish.
How come?
Because they've got a photo spread of the reunited cast of Saved by the Bell.
Whoa! Yeah!
Whoa!
Everyone's there. Lisa Turtle, AC Slater, Zach Morris. All of them. No Screech. No Screech.
No Screech!
Screech
even
was not,
better.
Screech was not invited to the photo shoot.
Even better.
You know why?
Great.
Because everyone's had an ass full of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dustin Diamond's a dick.
Yeah, he is.
And he's writing a scathing tell-all book about his Saved by the Bell years, where apparently he's going to say all kinds of disparaging things about his cast.
And who's going to believe it, though?
No
one.
Because I'm sure it'll be all lies. Because he's a lying liar who lies.
He is.
But the thing is, we're all looking forward to the Jimmy Fallon reunion show, right? He's going to get the whole cast together on his show.
Not really.
What do you mean, not really?
I mean,
yeah,
yes.
That's
I mean,
going to
no,
be cool.
That's going to be the greatest.
You're a terrible person.
Saved by the Bell reunion with all the cast together?
Yeah.
There's only one problem. Apparently, Tiffany Thiessen, who is in the photo spread with People magazine, the whole cast together, is not committing to doing the Jimmy Fallon show.
Okay.
Well, then it's not a Saved by the Bell reunion.
Yeah, she should do it.
But she has to do it.
But she claims she's busy.
Okay.
And she made a video for funnierdie.com to that effect.
Okay.
And here's some of the things she claims she's just too busy doing in order to join in the Saved by the Bell reunion.
Not only am I directing, producing, and doing all the voices for the live-action cat comedy, I'm also working with NASA on a new fuel cell for the next space shuttle.
The gravitational waves.
Okay, I'll go over this again.
I'm a co-lead singer in an Indigo Girls tribute band. Mm-hmm. I spent 2 months in Costa Rica cultivating a sativa strand of marijuana.
Chronic.
Kapowski Kush.
Kapowski Kush.
And several times a week, I sit by my pool and look hot.
Hmm.
Yeah, she does, by the way.
She does
check out that video.
She
gets very hot in that video.
But it sounds like she's clowning on that she's not really that busy, so she does
right,
have time to appear
with. But she's not clowning on the fact she's not going to do the reunion.
That's weak.
We don't get that, which is sad. But we get the People magazine this week. I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I want to see the kids together again.
Yeah.
Am I a bad person if I never have seen Saved by the Bell even once?
First of all, yes, you're a bad person. But
you're a bad person.
You not
reasons.
Seeing Saved by the Bell is the least of the reasons. Right. That's all I got.
But
say.
I'm still excited about the reunion, even though I don't even know who any of these people are. I'm still happy to see them.
The Twihards are very up in arms.
Oh, what made them angry?
Well, their beloved Victoria the Vampire,
yes,
has been recast in the third Twilight movie, Eclipse.
Right.
Rachel Lefebvre, who plays Victoria in the first two films, will not be in the third because she took a role in another movie while they are in production for the third film.
How dare you.
No! And so she wasn't available. So they said, well, screw it. We're going to recast your role then. She is furious. She said, it's only 10 days. It's only 10 days out of your production schedule. Can't you work it around me and you know, find time to put me in the film? And they were like, no, we got a lot of characters, got a lot of filming to do. You're going to be in Europe for 10 days. We can't exactly fly you into the set. We're not dealing with your BS. And so Bryce Dallas Howard has been recast as Victoria.
Even better.
Which is even better.
Yeah.
You got an even hotter redhead playing this role. But the Twihards are just apoplectic about this.
What are they going to do?
They're going to cut themselves and say birds are dying. Listen to more emo music.
And then drink their own blood?
Drink their own blood. Speaking of which,
Rob Pattinson?
He's a little freaked out.
About?
Oh, the latest thing for young ladies who try to woo him when they run into him, especially at these Comic-Cons and things like that, is girls will come up to him with open wounds on their necks because he's a vampire.
No.
Yeah.
Do they know he's not a vampire?
I'm guessing
Are they aware
no.
of that?
He says that he was in New York City recently, and these four girls came up to me. They all had scratched their necks until they bled.
Dear God.
And when they came up to me, they had these bleeding scabs on their necks.
Ew.
It was gross.
Did he say
like there was no warning of a big open hole?
So don't do that if you want to impress
Rob
Pattinson.
No. He doesn't think that's hot?
Apparently he is not attracted to the bleeding scabs on their neck.
Although it sounds sexy.
Sure, it does.
No.
I am torn, people. Let me tell you why. Apparently, they are planning a remake for television of the popular 70s and 80s TV series, The Rockford Files.
Oh, I love that.
Never saw that.
You never saw The Rockford Files.
You are a terrible person.
No, I didn't.
How could you not see it?
I don't know. I just never saw it. What difference does it make?
Because
so am I off the hook for Saved by the Bell now?
One
if Kevin's
of the greatest
never seen the
TV
Rockford
shows
Files.
Ever.
All right, but when was it? 1950s?
No.
60s?
70s, 80s. Late 70s, early 80s.
Don't care.
No, it was a great show, and you would have liked
it. How could you not care then? I can see even if you don't care now, how did you not care then when it was on television?
How am I supposed to answer that?
Top 10 show.
I don't know. I didn't care.
Dumb!
I didn't care.
Dumb!
Maybe so.
Aww. I am playing you off. The keyboard cat is playing your ass off.
Come on.
Ralph? No! No!
Might I say, best theme song of any TV show ever?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mike Post with that bitchin' synth.
That sounds hot. That sounds really good. Sure sounds like I missed something.
No! No!
All right, now the room is saying Dave and Miss Cleo, Alex, none of them have ever seen the Rockford Files.
Well, then we're all going to get together for a big Rockford Files marathon over at Stately Garmin Manor.
Oh, God, I'm so bored.
Throw it up on the big screen.
Yeah, I'll be there early.
So Rockford Files was about a PI in Los Angeles. That's private detective, private investigator for you and me.
Sure.
Who was just a guy who got like beat up on a regular basis. He lived in a trailer. He was like a low-rent private eye.
But oh, my God. Who cool. the hell
Very
cares?
Cool dude.
It was great.
You know, one of the writers for that show for a long time was David Chase, the man who created the Sopranos.
Oh, no kidding.
That's where he got his first break. But a lot of guys got their break
something.
On that.
That's saying something, at least. At least got some good pedigree.
David Kelly and Botchko and all these guys like became TV legends all got their start on the Rockford Files.
Oh, fuck off.
Had a star, James Garner, one of the coolest actors ever on the planet. James Garner.
Oh, God. When is this going to end?
Don't be so boring.
So I love the show. I have trepidations about them remaking it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it really was all about James Garner. He was just such a charming, funny, cool dude.
Wow, that's an interesting story.
However, the man in charge of the remake is David Shore, the creator of House, which was one of my favorite shows on television.
Is that the whole story? Is that the whole story?
So I'm saying if anybody could probably pull it off, he could. However, the casting is what worries me. I don't see like Ryan Reynolds is Jim Rockford or something, you know? I don't see, ooh, Mario Lopez is James Rockford. I can't bear it.
There's a dullness about you. There's a dullness about you.
I think we've spent more time on the Rockford Files remake than we did on the entirety of Michael Jackson's death.
Well, it's because no one's carrying this story, and it's important it gets out there to the people. I think it's got to be me. That's what I'm saying.
You need to be.
I think I need to be the new Jim Rockford.
If you were, would you stop talking about it? I'm guessing not.
No, I'd probably be talking about it more.
Yeah, that's not
good. I was bored to tears.
Rockford Files. One of the great shows. I'm going to get you all the box sets for Christmas, Kevin. So
you know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
Watch every episode of the Rockford
Files. Oh, f*** you.
Give me a little theme. Give me a little Rockford Files.
Yeah.
Boring, boring, gay, boring, boring.
Boring.
I'm so bored.
Boring.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Driving that gold Firebird he used to drive.
Do you?
You know what his license plate was on his Firebird?
Are you getting paid to make people not listen to our show?
OKG853. That was the license plate on his number. I memorized it when I was a kid.
You just went bye-bye.
That was the license plate.
I think we just crossed the line.
We did just cross the line anyway.
Greatest show ever.
Yeah. You take requests?
Sure.
Please stop.
Today's celebrity birthday is Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck, who's 27 years old today.
Wonder what she thinks about the Rockford Files.
I wish we could find out. Jamie Presley from My Name is Earl is 32 years old. Hillary Swank turns 35. Although Jason Lee would make a good Jim Rockford.
Jason Lee
from the
sure
My Name
care.
Is Earl.
Sure couldn't care any less.
Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee would make a great Jim Rockford.
Sorry, we're out of time.
This case is bananas. Christopher Nolan, Memento, Insomnia, the Batman films, turns 39 years old today. Lisa Kudrow from Friends is 46 years old. Arnold Schwarzenegger celebrates his 62nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we have Oscar Goodman, the Las Vegas mayor. We're going to ask him about this ridiculous
bottom of the Rio pool.
Integrity BS that they're talking about. Landon Donovan.
Maybe that could be Rockford's first case. Maybe he could go undercover in Las Vegas and figure out what's going on at the pool.
I like it.
Landon Donovan from the Galaxy going to be in ahead of their Barcelona game this Saturday night. We have Sal Masekela, the host of the X Games on tomorrow's show, and Seth Green and the World Tour stop number three grand prize, the Killers in Red Rocks, Colorado.
Cool.
So that's coming up. We have Andrew St. John up next. He's in for Cat. He's got 40 minutes of nonstop K-Rock, including Paramore, Silver Sun pickups, and the new one from Pearl Jam.